much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. What do you say? Should we dive in? Have some fun? Let's have some fun.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Don't you understand? What part? Is it the shit or the f***? What the f*** don't you understand?
Morning, sunshine.
Never say that again.
Did you hear that?
And now, this is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back.
Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Our feature presentation.
How does a guy or a girl burp that long?
Don't talent. That is pure talent.
You'd have to be like 200 pounds and then lose 100 pounds while you're doing it.
I was always wondering, and that, of course, from the great Will Ferrell movie Elf, which is one of the best movies of all time, by the way. I've always wondered if he burped that, or if he had a fill-in burper.
Stunt burper?
Yeah, I mean, he looked like he was burping it, but do you think that then they dubbed it in from somebody who actually could burp, or did they edit that together from a series of burps and nobody really burped that long? I have many questions about that scene.
I don't have that many questions, but I do have a question of could one person really burp that long?
And
if so, what would that do to their system? Like, you have to save it up, or
yeah. Didn't we used to have somebody who worked on the Kevin and Bean show who was some sort of a outstanding money was the outstanding burper, right?
But it was noise. It was dB. It was strength, loud.
Yeah,
it was
that's
not
right.
Length.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was powerful. Yeah.
Maybe we need to have some people call in and see how long they can burp.
I can't believe you just suggested that. I can't believe that came out of your mouth,
Lisa. That's the best idea that's ever come out of Lisa's mouth, and she's going to hate it when we do it.
The thing is,
I can't burp at all.
Well, women don't. Well,
yeah.
That's the thing.
You have to burp sometimes, don't you?
Well, no, occasionally. Very occasionally.
It's got to come out one end or the other.
Once in a great while I burp, but to make myself burp, I can't do it.
God, it's raining!
Wrong button.
Wait. Yeah, it's not.
There you go.
That was 110.
I'm getting there.
I can do little burps. I can do a little, you know. Little,
nice!
But nothing like Elf, though. I mean, I think you're right. I think we may have to jettison everything else on today's show and just concentrate on how that works. So, speaking of, oh my God, it's raining. For years now on the Kevin and Bean Show, we've been giving you what I think is quality advice. And
oh
that
my
is,
God, it's raining!
If the roads are slick and it is more dangerous out, it makes sense to be on the roads less time.
That makes sense, yes. I'm with you logically.
So drive shorter distances, right?
Isn't that what we're saying?
Well, yeah, you can. Sure. But
better, though, is to get to those from point A to point B much, much faster. If you are on the road less time, you're going to be safer in the long run. So is everybody else. So if you would normally go 30 if it's a sunny, dry day, now if it's a dark, rainy day, you should go 60. Because that decreases your possibility of being in an accident by half.
So speed obviously. Up when the wets are road. When the roads are wet.
When the wets are road, exactly.
Right. Speed up.
So let's see how that works in reality with our man Beer Mug, who has a story from yesterday.
What happened, Beer Mug?
Rainy day of the entire week in Los Angeles.
I get off work and I'm right outside the station on Venice, and I'm making a left from Venice onto Cadillac. And the light is going from yellow to red, and light hits red. I'm in the intersection. Bam! T-boned. My right fender, done.
Well, T-boned, meaning somebody was coming from the 90-degree angle?
Well, I was technically, you know, facing. I was making the left,
yeah.
And she was
her, becoming
her
behind
car's
you.
Made a T.
Okay.
So, pulled off. She was nice, but I was like, well, you didn't see the yellow light to turn red? She's like, well, I didn't want to slow down. I didn't want to hit the brakes.
That's the right answer.
Because
then you start sliding all over the place.
She would have lost
control. Because it was raining.
Because it was raining,
yeah. So, which was the most important part of that entire sentence that Beer Mug left out, right?
Perhaps she should have not been driving so fast to begin with.
No, see, you're wrong.
How about that?
She should have stepped on it.
She should have driven faster. She would have been through the light.
Right. She would have gotten through the light before Muggs turned.
I'm going to have to say that I do not agree with you on this one.
We think this is good advice, but we're running things.
It's going to be mandatory.
That's right.
Drive as fast as you can while you still keep your car on the road.
Muggs, the history of that car, by the way.
Doomed.
Now, the history of that
this
car.
This is not the first incident. Didn't a gate fall on it?
It was randomly keyed. And yesterday, my car just hit 12,000 miles. I haven't even had it for a year.
Wow.
I wonder if that could be the car or the driver.
A gate fell on it. That's not his fault.
I don't know if that's his fault. I'm not sure of all the details.
It sounds like all three of the things that Muggs mentioned that have happened to his car were not his fault. Yet somehow I still believe it was his fault.
Come on.
I think there's no question about that. You have to start with the idea that it's his fault and then work backwards and figure out how.
So you mentioned she had insurance, so that was a lucky break.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So she's going to take care of it. How bad is the damage? Were you able to drive it?
No. I had to put the pedal to the metal, as they say, and get it off the road. I couldn't steer it. I could not steer it off.
Oh, dude.
It was totally just crunched. My wheel, my axle was broken.
Are you still driving it that way?
Oh, my God.
No. You see Muggs leaving
it
two this morning to get here?
Yeah, having it less than a year and having all that go wrong, that is no good. I will tell you that I got a new car over the holidays. Mm-hmm. I like to take advantage of that last week of the year. They tend to be really doing some wheeling and dealing. I bought a lot of cars in my life that last week of December because they're trying to, upgrade the bottom line there before the end of the calendar year.
Right.
And I got a car, and everybody around me is so paranoid that I have this new car. You know, like my wife won't drive it, for instance, and Marty, my mansplain, will say, "Oh no, don't come over to my house because you get get mud all over it and stuff." And I'm like, "Look, I'm going to have this car for a number of years. Stuff's going to happen to it. I'm still going to drive it." You know, my mother-in-law said, "Oh, don't put all the dogs in the back seat." I'm like, "What do you want me to do with them? You know, you just treat it like a car."
What do they think you're going to do with the car?
You know how paranoid people are about that first ding, that first scratch,
sure.
That first whatever it is. You know, the people who park 80 miles away from where they're going just so they can park by themselves kind of deal.
Here's what I find.
I don't buy into any of that.
Good. Because I was going to say, here's what I find. You just take a hammer out, ding it.
Boom. It's done.
That whole thing's behind you. Now you can drive like there's nothing going on.
But I guarantee that I'll have it longer in better shape than any car Beer Mug will
ever
have.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. For the rest of his life. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That idea is literally the greatest idea I have ever heard in my life.
Wow. I didn't think it was that good, but okay. We've got some dude named Psycho Mike. He's going through a thing this year where he's trying to buy all American
That's
products.
That's a challenge.
Yeah.
We don't make anything in this country. Right?
Well, I mean, that is question one.
Yeah.
We make tears. That's all we make.
Yes, that's correct. So we're going to talk to him today. We have Ben McKenzie and Michael Kudlitz. From one of the best shows on TV, Southland.
Yes.
What was the body count on the season premiere of Southland? I lost count of how many people died in the course of those cops' days. I mean,
that's a good question, but
seriously, a lot of firepower on that show.
The answer, not enough. But that's a fantastic show. We're happy to have them in. We have, we're going to tell you about something called the Avengers Cologne.
What is that?
We'll tell you.
Oh, okay.
The Avengers Cologne. You Let Everybody Down, based on Billy Cundiff. Mm-hmm. Who was the field goal kicker? Field goal kicker is a pretty strong word language for that guy. But he's the reason the New York Giants are in the Super Bowl, correct?
Poor Billy.
He was the Baltimore Ravens.
Ravens.
I believe he was the Baltimore Ravens field goal kicker who did not take the Patriots game to overtime.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I believe that's who Billy Cundiff is.
All right.
Anyway. But we may not have time to talk about that today because Lisa wants to know how much you can burp.
We're going to have to do the length
so
of burping.
So I don't know. We have to decide. We have to flip a coin and decide which one gets done today.
Can we do both?
We have thanks to that info, Bean.
How dare you?
And the Oscar nominations come out today. We'll cover those.
All right.
How about that?
That's all coming up. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 10 minutes till 6.
Hey, party people. Welcome in on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here. Very big day in Hollywood. What's going on, Ralph?
Big day. It's Neil Diamond's birthday.
Seriously,
that's what I meant.
Everyone's getting together.
Seriously, though.
Sweet Caroline. Nope. Good times never seem so good. Come on.
How old
Diamond
is that dude
day.
Now?
It's
He's in
Diamond
his 60s,
Day.
Right?
It's not Diamond Day.
Kevin, it's Diamond Day. We always celebrate Diamond
we
Day.
We don't. We never have in
it's
our lives.
It's Talk Like Neil Diamond Day. Good day, Los Angeles. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. Money talks. Come on, everybody. Talk like Neil Diamond Day.
Nope.
Oh. I guess B may be referring to the Oscar nominations. So much to talk to with the Academy Award nominations this morning. So much to talk about that we're gonna hold off. We're going to do the regular Showbiz Beat here, and then right after the top of the hour, we're going to come back and go through all the nominations so you can hear if your favorite film of the year was nominated for an Academy Award or not. I'll tell you, there's a lot of movies in there you've never heard of.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to ask, because that is always the problem.
Well,
that's what makes them boring on TV as well.
I don't agree with that, but I do think it's kind of a cheat when movie companies will release a movie for a week, December the 15th, to get it in before the end of the year so it can be eligible for the Academy Awards. And some of these movies, as far as I know, aren't even in wide release yet. So you don't even get a chance to see the nominated films before the awards sometimes. So we'll talk about that. But there's a lot of films you have seen, too, also nominated. A lot of good performances nominated. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. But let's talk about another big deal for movie makers, the Sundance Film Festival. News coming out of there that Tracy Morgan was rushed to the hospital from the Sundance Film Festival yesterday. He fell unconscious after being honored at the Creative Coalition Spotlight Awards.
Best accepted speech ever?
Yeah. He said, "I'm happy to be here."
Went down. That's not good.
His reps claim it was that classic famous celebrity disease of exhaustion. And this time they added altitude because they are up there in Park City.
It's a nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
But not dehydration?
Not dehydration.
No.
Although rumors that he appeared intoxicated on stage.
No way.
They claim are 100% false. Any reports of alcohol consumption, as people say, are just simply untrue. Well, what else are they going to say? He sends his gratitude to the Park City Medical Center, who took good care of him. And he's fine now. He's okay. But they say it was just exhaustion and the altitude, you know? You can't be all up there in the altitude, being all exhausted.
Just be all exhausted and just be all standing there.
You just take a nap right there on the stage while you get your award.
How do people even live in Park City? It's got to be so exhausting up there.
Well, they wear those oxygen tanks all the time. They got those big masks on their face and they walk around. It looks like a contagion zone.
They sort of get used to it.
Oh, there's that.
It's the real answer.
Yeah. Kevin Federline also rushed to the hospital this week.
That's a name I hope to never hear again.
Oh, you will when you hear the story.
Okay, good.
He's on a TV program in Australia called Excess Baggage. This is a weight loss program for celebrities.
Another one?
Yeah. I get the sense now that's his only gig. I think Federline loses a bunch of weight on television, then goes home and puts a bunch of weight back on, and then waits for the phone to ring, and then goes on to his next weight loss celebrity program. This one's in Australia. He was doing a filmed workout with a local football team, Australian Real Rules football team. And his heart apparently didn't fare too well during the workout. Listen, if you're a big fat dope and you don't do anything, and then you go out and work out with professional athletes, I could see why that might tax you.
That would knock any of us down, I think.
Yeah. His heart did not fare well. They rushed him to the local hospital to observe his condition, and they said he is stable but douchey. So we'll have to wait and see how that spins out.
A douchey can overcome you, by the way.
It can. He's had that for a long time, too. That's a chronic condition. Mm-hmm. Heidi Klum and Seal, it's official. We talked about the fact that they're separating after 7 years of wedded bliss.
I got next. Is that how it works?
You were out yesterday.
Dibs. I was out yesterday.
Yeah, your name's going to be on the bottom of the list. We're all ahead of you. People Magazine has their official statement that they've released.
Best of friends.
Oh, yeah, Kevin.
Continue to love each other.
Deepest respect. You've got deepest respect for one another.
The couple
said they've done a lot of soul searching, grown apart, and plan to separate. They love each other, have deepest respect for one another.
Sure.
Now, TMZ says sources are telling them the real truth could be a lot worse than what they're saying, believe it or not. Could be really nasty. The supermodel is reportedly fed up with Seal's ugly temper. So things might have gotten...
That's not good.
Unfortunate in that relationship. Another issue could be her tremendous success in fashion and TV and the fact that his career has been waning as of late. Which, you mess with a man and his ego, especially when he's got a temper. That's a bad recipe. Just last Lisa, remember when she used to date David Copperfield, the magician? And her career took
and
off.
And
his
eclipsed him.
His started to wane.
It was,
classic.
That's what happened.
Yeah. I don't want to be cynical about the timing of this, but Seal does have a new album released today.
How
Ralph,
dare you, sir?
Which I think is interesting. Try to get a little bit of attention, maybe.
I don't. Is it called I Yell at My Wife?
I don't know, but hey, look, if we're going to announce this whole divorce thing, can we wait until the end of January? I got that record coming out.
Right.
Use the interviews.
Yeah.
I know, but no one that we know would ever say yes to that.
No.
Oh,
I
would
agree.
That help you? Okay, great.
That's true.
That's not how it goes.
And while we're talking about music careers, Whitney Houston back in the news.
Wow. Been a while.
She's cleaned up her act, reportedly.
Again.
She is trying to get her career back on track, reportedly. But sources are telling RadarOnline.com that she is flat broke.
Wow.
Broke as a joke, one of her friends says. That is broke.
That is
when you're broke.
Broke
as a joke. She even called a friend to borrow $100 recently, according to sources.
Oh, my gosh.
She had a lot of dough.
She had all the money, Kevin.
Yeah, she did. Wow.
There was no money for the rest of us because Whitney had it all.
Wow.
Luckily, she's got friends in high places that are loaning her cash until her new album is released. Hopefully that will be a hit and give her some cash, but the situation is
not involved in this story, right?
not involved in this story, and it's apparently dire when it comes to her finances. So.
Well, you know, I was thinking about Whitney. She's not a songwriter, so no. She doesn't have that coming in, and hers are not the kinds of records, I think, that stand the test of time in terms of new generations discovering her and wanting to go back and buy all those Whitney Houston. It's not like Aretha Franklin, who's going to sell forever. Whitney was a time and a place, and she's not really even on the radio anymore.
You don't go into the dance clubs now and hear, I want to dance with somebody.
Right, no. Exactly.
On the sound system.
Although I do have a clip of one of her new songs.
Oh, I can't wait to hear the new album. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Her voice has gotten much worse, I think, since...
You want some Twilight Star updates?
Yes.
Real quick, before we get to showbiz birthdays, and then we'll come back with the Oscar nominations. But Ashley Greene has a new tattoo. It is a key behind her left ear with a heart at the top of it.
A key with a heart at the top of it behind her ear?
Yeah, it's like the key to her heart. It's through her ear.
But above her ear.
Yes.
Huh.
Do me in my ear, she's asking. That's what I'm guessing.
I don't
Maybe she likes ear nibbles.
Oh, yeah, she loves that. I'm guessing some actresses, and it seems to be more and more a popular location for tattoos, especially for actresses, behind the ears, because they can have it, and then when they work and stuff, they can just cover it up with the hair and stuff, so it's not a big deal. It's a good place for a...
But that's true with your torso and
not if you're an actress. A lot of actors have to take their shirts off in scenes and stuff like that. Arms, torsos,
the best
shoulders.
Ones, right.
That's true.
The best ones. And that requires some serious masking body makeup, which can be time consuming sometimes. If you put it behind your ear, you're covered. Literally and figuratively. And Kellen Lutz, also in the news. He's weird. According to Star Magazine, he likes to throw weirdly themed parties. Most recently, he had a dream board party.
Dream board.
Yes, he has a bunch of friends come over, and they cut pictures out of magazines and paste them on poster boards to make a collage of their dreams.
He is 7 or 8. How old is he, Kellen Lutz?
He's flimsy, I know that, if that's his party theme.
That's the gayest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, everyone comes over, and then we cut things out of magazines that we dream about, we'd love to have, and then we paste them on poster board, and we have skinny girl margaritas.
I'm sorry, gay people. That was insulting to you.
Yes, it was, Kevin.
That's so lame.
That's why I prefer the word flimsy.
Wow.
Because then the flimsy people get annoyed, but I don't mind because they're flimsy.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, as I mentioned, of course, legendary singer, songwriter, icon, legend, god, Neil Diamond. Neil Diamond.
That's not Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond celebrates his 71st birthday today.
Wow!
71 years old. Brand new husband, brand new wife he's got.
How
71.
Old?
She's 4, oddly enough. Went to one of those Indonesian countries where that's legal. Another singer-songwriter, Aaron Neville. Goes things like that.
Is that the guy with two heads?
He's got a giant mole on his face. It looks like a head. That's what you're axing.
That's what I'm axing.
He's 71 years old today. Oscar-winning actor Ernest Borgnine is 95 years old today.
Shockingly, Ernie's still kicking. And I saw him interviewed recently, and he is still pretty sharp.
He was just in Red, the movie Red. I guess it was last year he was in that movie, and he was great.
Right.
Matthew Lillard from Scooby-Doo and Scream and other films like that there. He is 42 years old. Ed Helms, manager at Dunder Mifflin on The Office now, is 37. And Misha Barton of The O.C. celebrates her 26th birthday. Really? Misha Barton still?
I think so. She can look good. She's living with Whitney Houston now, I understand. Sharing the rent.
I'm Ralph Garman. I got the showbiz beat and the Oscar nominations coming up next.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Wheel of Bad Animal Voices coming up, and apparently thanks for that info, Bean.
Hey, welcome to the red carpet. What are you wearing today?
Academy Award nominations announced about 35 minutes ago or so in Hollywood. And Ralph, has the bitching already begun? Have people already started complaining about the snubs?
Yes. Yes.
Are we going
to? It's a wonderful day for Oscar, Oscar, Oscar.
Bonus biz right now. We're giving you the bonus showbiz beat where we have the list of Oscar nominees for this year's Academy Awards. And some people are upset with the people who are left out. Some people are upset with the people that were included. But we're going to go through all of them. Okay, so let's start with Best Supporting Actress. This is a best performance by an actress in a supporting role. Octavia Spencer for The Help. By all accounts, an excellent, excellent performance. I never got around to seeing The Help.
I'm not sure who is, but everyone was awesome in that movie.
And
she's the black chick from that movie.
Wait a minute. Jessica Chastain, her co-star, also is nominated in this role. So I predict that will split The Help vote.
Okay.
Get half a Help each. That's all. This is the happy. Everyone was very happy when they announced this one this morning. This is the happy nominee, Melissa McCarthy for Bridesmaids.
Oh, good for her.
Which she's had a hell of a year thanks to her role in that film. This is one of those movies I was talking about that was released in the limited release before the end of the year to be qualified for an Academy Award, and no one has seen it yet. It's called Albert Nobbs. Stars Glenn Close as a woman who pretends to be a man in Victorian England in order to get a job as a butler.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Janet McTeer is Best Supporting Actress nominee from that film.
And so it's able to be nominated because they put it in theaters for a week or something and then took it back out?
Well, I don't know if it took it back out, but it is certainly in very, very limited release as of right now, and I'm sure they will release it wider, certainly now that they got their Oscar nominations under their belt. And the final nominee in this category, Berenice Bejo from The Artist. She is the lovely and talented actress who co-stars in The Artist. That's the silent film, Kevin.
Theater I went to, the sound was broken.
See,
and I was really
did?
Angry. I went out. I asked for my money back.
I was so surprised to not see her in Best Actress. I guess that's what they are
able to propose.
They can choose where they want to put you up for,
what
right?
role they would want her to be
considered clearly, that's
for.
A co-starring role. That's not a supporting role.
Yes, but clearly she was not going to be nominated as Best Actress due to all the performances this year, so her best shot was to be included in the Oscars.
Oh, I love her so much.
All right, relax. Best Supporting Performance by an Actor. Kevin predicted that Nick Nolte, when Warrior came out and he saw Nick Nolte would be nominated for an Oscar, and God damn if he wasn't right.
How about that?
Nick Nolte nominated for Warrior.
And that's a shock because he has been virtually ignored in all of the other award shows leading up to the Oscar.
He has been invisible during the award season. So
somebody may owe you money, Kevin. I think there might have been money.
I hope.
I think we have to go back to the tape, but I think there might have been some money on this one.
If there is, I'm happy to give it over.
I think it was in September, whenever it came out, but I remember coming in going, he just was so unbelievable that he's going to be nominated for an Oscar.
I can't believe I was nominated. It's ridiculous. Who'd have thought I'd be nominated?
Nick said this morning. Max von Sydow for Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Is that the kid?
That's about the kid who's Tom Hanks is his dad, leaves him a key, and then dies in the World Trade Center.
I haven't seen it yet, but
emotionally.
Is this the kid that...
No, Max von Sydow?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
He has been an actor for about 50 years.
So not he's the always
kid.
Been old.
He's always been old, okay. If you saw him, you would know him. He's a Swedish national, has done a ton of work, Kevin. You'll absolutely know him when you see him. But great, great actor and well-deserved by all accounts. Again, this is another film I hadn't checked out yet. But Christopher Plummer for Beginners. This is where I'm putting all my money. This is where I'm laying down all my cash.
I love that movie, too.
Great film. Ewan McGregor plays a young man whose father suddenly becomes a widower. He is now single and comes to his son and announces that he's really gay. Comes out of the closet.
And by the way, when Ralph says...
After 50 years of marriage.
When Ralph says really gay, he means really gay.
Well, no, he's not really gay. It's the thing. He's been gay his whole life, but he's been married with a wife and kids the whole time. So this is his first entrance into exploring the world of homosexuality, and he just dives in with both feet.
Yeah.
And has a great, great time. And it's fabulous!
I was forced to see this. This is one of those where it was a movie night and we were all going out and that was the one that was picked. And I was like, I don't know anything about it. And it's really well done.
It's a great film.
Yeah. Kind of a bummer.
No, I didn't think it was at all.
Bit of a downer.
Jonah Hill, nominated for Moneyball. How about that?
I'm so glad to see that because he was, I watched that again. He was so good
He's
in that.
He's great in that film. As is Kenneth Branagh as Sir Laurence Olivier in My Week with Marilyn. I thought he gave a terrific performance as well. So this is really a great category. Everybody in here, well-deserving and a great bunch of actors. Let's move on to Best Actress. This is the best performance by an actress in a leading role. Meryl Streep, The Iron Lady. Once again,
what a shock.
One of these movies, they just slipped under the door at the end of the year just so they could get her nominated.
Meryl Streep for fill in the blank. It doesn't matter.
They should just name her next film Academy Award nomination.
Yeah.
Because she's going to get
and
it.
She's been nominated for how many now, Ralph? Do we know? Like 15 or something,
16,
right?
Something
a ridiculous
like that.
Number.
Yeah. I have to say, I did see that, and she's really good, but I did not care for the movie.
That is often the case with her films, I think. She's always great, and her movies can be hit or miss. Viola Davis for The Help. She's the lead actress in that
film. She's the black chick
Come
in that
on!
Movie, if you saw that, Kevin.
Rooney Mara for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo,
please,
nominated for
I
Best
hope.
Actress.
There's no way she'll win this, right? But I hope she does. She was so great in that movie.
Glenn Close for Albert Nobbs. Now, a woman playing a woman who plays a man, that's Academy. They can sink their teeth into that one. So she is... she and Meryl Streep are probably the best odds-on favorites for this category. But I think a possible dark horse who could certainly win is Michelle Williams for My Week with Marilyn. She played Marilyn Monroe in that film and gave a brilliant, brilliant performance. So Hollywood also loves Hollywood.
Yeah.
So you make a movie about Marilyn Monroe, the girl who plays her certainly has a shot as well. Best actor. This is another great category. Brad Pitt for Moneyball.
Sure.
Gave a great, great performance in that. Gary Oldman for Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
He's great in that.
Also great in that. Demian Bashir for A Better Life.
Never heard of it.
This is a film that did not do great at the box office, but it was critically acclaimed. Directed by Chris Weitz, of all people. One of the half of the Weitz brothers who brought us American Pie and About a Boy and other films like that. It's about a gardener in East Los Angeles who is an illegal immigrant, and he tries to provide a better life for his family so that they don't have to perpetuate that sort of sub-poverty level economic world. And he wants a better life for his kids.
And you know this actor, Kevin, because he was on Weeds. He was the dad, the Mexican gangster guy on Weeds, who had the baby with Mary Lee's Parker's
character. Sure.
He's awesome.
He's a terrific actor, yeah.
This actor, I'm not familiar with him either. Georg Clooney?
That's George Clooney.
Oh, George Clooney.
Yes.
I'm not familiar.
So I don't think it's Georg.
His work in The Descendants has got him nominated.
My favorite movie of the year.
And Jean Desjardins for The Artist, of course. And I think there's your
I'm telling you what's going to happen
right
is
there.
This is such a media darling, this artist, because it was it's
so you
silent.
You didn't like it when you saw it? You didn't care for it?
I don't want to watch it. But the point is it's going to win all of them. But not because it deserves this
you
better than the other movies. It's going to win
but
because
maybe it'll win
it's
because
cool
it deserves
and
it.
Hip to vote for a movie that's black and white and silent.
Maybe it's good.
It's a gimmick.
That is
it possibly
just
good?
Wrong.
It's a gimmick.
You're
is
just
it possible
wrong.
That it's
gimmick.
Good, Kevin? Is it possible
yes,
that it's a good movie?
It is. Is it
okay.
as good as they're saying?
No way. How? Why not?
Please. It's look. Look.
Good point, Kevin. I didn't look at it from
got
that
a
position.
Hook. Everybody goes, "Hey, if we vote for that, we're going to be looked at as cool."
You know, it could have just as easily died a horrible death. I mean, that was very, very
it was
daring.
A gutsy move.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was great overcame the fact that it was black and white and silent because there's more people like you in the world than there is most people who are eager to see a black and white silent film. Oh, well, another good point. I didn't think about
Let me ask you this. Is it better than
Kevin wins this one.
Is it better than Moneyball, Tinker, Tailor, Sailor, Soldier, Spy, The Descendants, A Better Life? Is it better than all of those?
I think
the answer,
as pure movie making, you can't get any more pure watching something happen on the screen than a silent film like they did this thing. It is the most movie you'll ever see.
That doesn't even make sense.
Of course it does.
Me.
Movies
it's
are
the most movie I'll ever see.
Because movies are primarily and originally a purely visual medium, and what they do on that screen with this film, I think, is one of the most remarkable achievements of the
I'm going to burn the place down if The Artist wins everything.
Well,
I'm just telling you that right now.
Without having seen it, though, right?
Correct.
You're
going to
condemn it as being awful. Okay.
I won't say anything while I burn it down, but I will.
All right, we're almost out of time.
No, have we no, got no, okay. We're not.
All right.
Best director, real quickly, Woody Allen for Midnight in Paris. Michelle for The Artist.
She'll win.
That's a dude.
He'll win.
Alexander Payne for The Descendants. Martin Scorsese for Hugo. Steven Spielberg for War Horse. Those guys just have to get nominated, even if their movies aren't that good.
Speaking
of getting nominated for a movie that's not that good, Terrence Malick, The Tree of Life. Are you effing kidding me? Best Picture. Nine nominees for Best Picture this year. They can do anywhere from 5 to 10 every year with the new rules. They gave us 9. Here they are. The Tree of Life. Come on!
Don't know that one.
That's the one with the dinosaurs and here's a picture of a leaf blowing in the wind. And, hey, there's Sean Penn. What's he? Oh, never mind. Here's some sand. Hey, isn't that Brad? Oh, waterfall over here. There's a guy going to a waterfall in a barrel. Hey, look, there's a loon. Woo, woo. And it's all over the place. It's a mess.
Now, I didn't see this one.
Oh, you're so lucky. I got about halfway through it.
I love Terrence Malick movies, and even you will admit he's made some great films.
Yes,
in the past.
And this is not one of them.
Why is this on every single top 10 list, though, for every critic in America?
Because this is actually what Kevin was talking about. Well, this is a movie so artsy and fartsy that people are desperately afraid not to vote for it to make it appear like they don't get it.
Why are we talking about any other movie except for the one that's going to win for the Best Picture, which is The Artist? Let's just give it to it right now and move on.
There's other great films nominated.
I know, but they won't win.
War Horse, Moneyball, The Help, Midnight in Paris, Hugo, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, The Descendants, and The Artist are your nominees for Best Picture.
I think The Descendants is going to win, by the way, Best Picture. That's my pick.
I hope so.
It certainly has been the darling of the awards set so far this year. There are your nominees for the upcoming Academy Awards.
A lot to chew on.
Are held March, I want to say.
I'd say March is pretty accurate.
March sometime, and it'll be hosted by, of course, Jerry Lewis.
The Leibenhoy!
No, Billy Crystal will be hosting this year. So there are your Oscar nominations. Now you can go to work or school, and you're all caught.
Our old friend Michael Catherwood rejoins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show today to talk about his domestic journey. He's trying to buy only U.S.-made goods for 1 year. We'll discuss that. Plus, from the great show Southland, actors Ben McKenzie and Michael Cudlitz coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And keep listening for a chance to qualify to see Incubus in Australia. Don't you know?
First, it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. And on the wheel, we have Ole, the dog that survived an avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
We have Badass Super Soldier Ants. We have Boo, the cutest dog in the world.
I love Boo.
I hate Boo.
He's the cutest dog in the world.
That's it. That's the whole thing. The albino cyclops shark. I don't do an impression of that one. Indian scalping leopard. We have Curly, the fugitive Christmas goat. We have the world's oldest dog in heaven. We have Irwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo.
Oh, Irwin. That's so sad. There's so many great choices. I don't even know where I want it to land
now. And we have the cat with two faces. So let's spin the wheel and find out.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it.
There it is.
That felt good.
That was a good spin, yeah.
Thanks very much. Nope.
Oh, hold on. What was it? Beerbug, did you see it? What did it land on?
It was stupid Boo, the cutest dog in the world.
You didn't cutest dog?
No! I can respin. No, 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 why can't I respin?
The rules say one spin. That's it. It's Boo.
Boo is the cutest dog. By the way, one of the Christmas presents that I got for the King of Mexico was a Boo, the Cutest Dog in the World book, which is just fantastic. It's all sorts of pictures of Boo. If you haven't seen him yet, you can go to Facebook right now. His page is just Boo. It's Facebook/Boo, B-O-O.
Love dogs, but right. Boo.
Boo is a Pomeranian.
Boo.
He looks like a little bear. He has 3 million fans on Facebook, by the way. Boo does. He's got a book out. He's got a line of stuffed toys. Boo has it going on, and we asked producer Dave if he could line up Boo in the last 30 seconds since it landed on that on the wheel, and I believe we have him on the show with us right now. Hi, Boo.
Hi, Boo. How does it feel to be voted the cutest dog in the world?
Oh, I couldn't be more happy.
Uh-huh.
Thank you so much, everybody who thinks I'm the cutest dog in the world.
Well, you actually are the cutest dog in the world, Boo.
Oh, thank you. That makes me feel so good in my heart.
In your heart?
Yes.
Sure. See, don't make that noise, though. That, That noise is a little annoying, isn't it?
I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't mean to upset you. Well, the noise... I just want everyone to love me.
Right. Sure.
Boo, what's it like having your own gunned stuffed toy? I mean, there are millions of Boos in bedrooms all over the world right now.
Well, not yet. It's $20, and it'll be available in March. You can buy it.
So you're
buy it. You can pre-order it now online.
Nope.
And it's a limit of 6 Boos per household.
Yeah, sure. You need to put that limit.
Sure, everyone knows you can only order 6.
Because you're going to want to order a lot more.
Yeah. And I also have my book, Boo, The Life of the World's Cutest Dog. Is it still available at bookstores or on Amazon or a website near you?
What's in that book?
Just about my life.
Just you going, pop.
Oh, that's funny. No, it's just about me and my hold on a second. This coffee is cold, asshole.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
You like your job?
Whoa.
Do you like your job?
Whoa.
Do your damn job. Do it right
then. Whoa.
Do it or you're fired.
Wait,
hello?
What just happened? What's going on?
Nothing. I just had a little misunderstanding with my personal assistant.
It sounded like you were whipping your personal assistant.
No, that's crazy. I'm the cutest dog in the world.
Well, that's, yeah, sure. That's a,
well,
and if you want to buy my stuffed animal, where's the website for the stuffed animal? Where is it? It's not on my paperwork. God damn it.
This is ugly.
No, it's just
Boo.
A website.
Please
never
stop.
Hired freaking brother Boo. To do this job.
Boo, come on.
Hello?
There's nothing cute about that. That's terrible. Don't treat people like that.
Are you guys my fans on Facebook?
No.
Please join.
Why?
I would love to have you. I love all my fans.
Uh-huh.
And I love that everyone thinks I'm the cutest dog in the world.
Right. Well, I used to think you were cute, but now I don't know.
I am cute.
All right.
Who set up this interview? Who are these assholes?
Hey, Boo!
You are the worst assistant I've ever had.
We were on your side. Whoa!
I need a new assistant.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:42.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Nope. Time for a little feature we call...
Thanks for that info, B.
Oh, I can't wait. This is when I catch up on all the good stuff.
Bean has Asperger's, which is
spelled
with a P for those of you that don't know. Here are
Passburgers? We spell the P? Passburgers?
Burgers. Okay. Social awkwardness, obsessions, focus on one subject, lack of eye contact, can't tell if the people he's talking to are into the topics that he's talking about.
Ding, 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 ding. Come on. How much does that sound like me,
doesn't
guys?
Really
not
care.
At all.
Doesn't really care if people are into what he's talking about. So we've come up with this feature, thanks to the Info Bean, where I write stuff down verbatim. And the rule of the room is if he says something that comes out of the blue or is clearly a thanks for info B, no one speaks to him.
Right.
Don't
so
engage.
I just want to make sure I understand the premise of this bit, though. So you're making fun of somebody that you believe has a mental condition. That's basically what's happening here, right?
No, what we're trying to do is
because I've got human resources listing on the other line.
What we're trying to do is we're trying to narrow down the stuff that is not interesting so that you can say, oh, well, I thought everybody was interested in
this
that.
This is a learning opportunity.
Correct.
This is a teachable moment. As our president would say.
One goes back to Christmas. I apologize for that, but I forgot to read it last time. And this is a gift that Lisa gave Bean that only he would be into. Bean says, just my type is the history of the font. This book looks awesome. Is that what you sent to him, Lisa?
Yes.
You're an enabler, Lisa.
This is exactly the kind of book I've been looking for.
That was a fantastic Christmas gift. That was just me expressing appreciation to a coworker for a thoughtful gift.
The history of fonts.
That's on Lisa. I don't blame Bean for that one. That's on Lisa.
The problem isn't that he's interested in it. It's that he talks to us about it.
And then Lisa says, to just end the conversation, I'm glad. And then Bean takes a beat and he says, Lisa, when I'm done with it, I'll let you borrow it. And that is where you don't understand. Maybe you're interested, but other people aren't.
Yeah. You can keep that all to yourself and enjoy.
Don't feel the need to send it to Lisa because she won't read it.
I hope you gave Scott Weiland a big baggie of heroin, too, Lisa.
He likes to tell us things that he's doing right now for no apparent reason. He says, I'm going to make soup right now. And then nobody says anything. And then he follows that up with,
That's what I'm going to do.
But isn't that the info beam?
We don't need further clarification.
I was asking a question. You ask a question
about every single one of these, and I'm telling you, we get it. We understand it. We know what you're saying.
Isn't that the kind of thing you'd like to know about your coworkers? That's what he's going to ask.
No, I wasn't at all.
We don't want this carrier making soup.
Isn't that in the long tradition of trying to burn other people when you have awesome food and they don't?
We all do soup rules. You were playing.
Soup is what they give homeless people in giant halls and tables when they got nothing else to eat.
Wait, that was an attempt at a burn?
Yes, it was.
That's even worse.
I had soup and you didn't. That's what I was going for.
That's not a burn. Wow.
Okay.
Here's a recent one.
Looks like Eddie James died.
And then no one said anything. And then Bean said, as expected.
Well, she's, had leukemia. She's very sick. We saw it coming.
Who's we?
I don't follow Etta James and her health.
The Etta James Google update.
Are you aware of the people that you work with?
So he says, as expected. And then Mug says, huh? And then I yelled, hey. And then Bean started yelling at us. Hey, that's not a thanks for that info, Bean. That's interesting.
It is interesting and newsworthy. Look, that's that Jesus info has been in the news a lot that's in recent years.
Do you know what happens to your coworkers when we see Etta James's name in the news?
You go, hey, Beyonce played her in a movie a couple of years ago. That's interesting. Right, what's she up to?
We skip right over. We don't care at all.
Well,
not
she's
even
a legendary singer.
Info beam.
In the Rock and Roll
That's
Hall of Fame.
Info beam.
You should care about
That's
her.
That info beam.
Bean's been on in Seattle. He's been having trouble getting out to his island because of the snow where he lives.
Mm.
So this one was a couple days ago, and whew, just kept going.
You guys know how much I love mail.
First of all,
he loves mail.
I love anything having to do with the post office.
He goes to the post office every day on purpose. The rest of us go only when we have to, if it's a last resort.
You guys know how much I love mail. Getting mail for me is one of the greatest things in the world.
Now, remember, we weren't talking about things we like or anything like that. So no one says anything.
Boy, he came out of the corner with a haymaker there, didn't he? Yeah.
And then he continues, I haven't been to the island in about 8 days.
And then no one said anything. And then he did. Because most of us need that, oh, really, tell us more moment or we'll stop.
Right.
Not Bean.
Can you imagine how great this is going to be? It's going to be like Christmas morning for me.
Because all the mail will be waiting there on the island?
Yes. 8 days of mail. Are you kidding me? I couldn't wait.
What do you guys hate the most when you come back from a trip?
Mail.
Is it going through the freaking giant pile of mail you have to just crap.
It is not.
Dig through.
It's not only not the best, it is the worst.
It's the worst.
It's the worst. And he wouldn't stop. He was just like, oh, it's going to be like Christmas morning.
Well, remember that I also write to a lot of people.
That's so info beam.
I have mail coming in.
Thanks for that info beam.
I'd like to just say a collective not interested. See, senor? We good? We cool? We cool?
We cool? The only time he doesn't talk is at the end of this bit.
We cool?
I'm too hurt.
We cool?
Head to beer mug is getting on my last nerve, by the way.
We should talk to the floor of the studio, he said.
He did just say that.
He said that.
Psycho Mike's coming in later today as a guest. Let's offer him whatever he wants to come back and take his old job back. Who's with me?
Me.
We need to free up some money under the salary cap, though. It's the only thing.
Yeah, that's
right, exactly.
I don't know if we can afford those free agents anymore.
See you, Lisa. All right. Showbiz.
She's like our veteran place kicker. We need her for the field goals.
Damn you.
She's more and more Billy Cundiff every day, though. What are you going to do?
Come on.
Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
All right.
Boom.
Bean has no more time for silliness. It's all business now. If you're just waking up, that means you may have missed the announcement of the Oscar nominees, which is the biggest showbiz news of the day. We don't have much time here, so I'm just going to burn through them real quick so you have an idea who was nominated. The show will be airing Sunday, February the 26th. You can watch the Oscars, hosted by Billy Crystal. Here are your nominees. Best Supporting Actor, Kenneth Branagh from My Week with Marilyn. I really like that performance. Jonah Hill for Moneyball, another great performance. Nick Nolte for Warrior. Didn't see it, but Kevin swears by it.
Awesome.
Christopher Plummer in Beginners, I loved that performance. And Max von Sydow, extremely loud and incredibly close. Great, great bunch of actors. Best Supporting Actress, Octavia Spencer and Jessica Chastain for The Help. Janet McTeer for Albert Nobbs. Melissa McCarthy, Bridesmaids. And Berenice Bijou for The Artist. Of course, Best Actress, Meryl Streep for The Iron Lady. Viola Davis for The Help, Michelle Williams. My Week with Marilyn. Rooney Mara, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And Glenn Close, once again, for Albert Nobbs. Look, it's about a woman pretending to be a dude. Do you name him Albert Nobbs, really? Are you just trying to make us giggle?
I don't know. I mean, that's been done so much. I can't imagine that they're doing it again, and it's good. It's getting any...
But it's a drama, you know.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. It's about a woman who's so destitute, and she's single, and women in the Victorian era in England couldn't really get a job or a career, so she has to pretend to be a man in order to become a butler in order to survive. Hmm. That's the premise of that film.
Hmm.
Best Actor, Brad Pitt for Moneyball. Gary Great. Oldman for Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Great.
George Clooney for The Descendants.
Great.
Demian Bashir for A Better Life. And okay. Jean Dujardin for The Artist. Best Picture.
I couldn't hear him very well.
See? Because it's a silent movie? Best Picture. There are 9 nominees this year. They can do anywhere between 5 and 10. This year they thought 9 films were deserving. The Tree of Life by Terrence Malick.
So maybe 8 were deserving? Is that what you're suggesting,
really?
Ralph?
I get it. I know he's a great director, but not everybody hits it out of the park. Sometimes it's a bunt.
You think it's a bunt?
I think it's a bunt.
Maybe a foul bunt.
War Horse. Did not see that, but heard it was good. Moneyball.
Great.
Great film. The Help.
Great.
Midnight in Paris, Woody Allen's film.
Great.
Hugo. Martin Scorsese's Hugo. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. The Descendants and The Artist. Kevin's favorite movie of the year. The black and white silent film, The Artist. So those are your nominees. Today's celebrity birthdays. Misha Barton from The O.C. is 26 years old today. What are the odds? We have Misha Barton from The O.C. on today. And we have Ben McKenzie, who used to be on The O.C.
Yeah.
Now on Southland, which is on tonight on TNT. Watch it or you're dead to me.
It's a good show.
Love that show. Did you see the first episode, Ben?
I did, yes.
Insane.
Crazy good.
Every one of those episodes where you don't see anything coming, they surprise the hell out of you, and then when you think you know what's going on, then they do the end around and surprise you again. Yep. Remarkable hour of television. Misha is 26 years old today. Ed Helms from The Office is 37. Matthew Lillard, Scooby-Doo, Scream, She's All That, 42 years old today. Neil Diamond is 71, as is Aaron Neville, and Ernest Borgnine turns 95 years old today. He's Borg, 95 years old.
Oh. How do you do it?
It's a gift.
What's the secret?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we are now sending you to Australia. It's destination number 4 of the K-Rock World Tour 2012. Check this out. Incubus in Sydney, and you get to go to the Australia Open of Surf. All of that. Starting at 9 o'clock this morning, again at noon, 3, 6, and 9 tonight, you can score a surfboard and get on the standby boarding list for the grand prize drawing next week to go to Australia to see Incubus. That, my friends, is a pretty good deal.
No kidding.
Kevin, you were out yesterday. We assumed you were still in Las Vegas after the NFL weekend. And you weren't here for us to talk about the guy who made it impossible for the Baltimore Ravens to go to overtime to have a chance to beat the New England Patriots by missing a very easy field goal. Easy for him. Easy for any professional field goal kicker. And we were talking about what that must be like for this dude. To be the one who everyone is counting on you to do this one simple thing, and you blow it. And what
Here
must that
Billy
be like?
Cundiff to tie this game and in all likelihood send it to overtime. The last 2 years, 16 of 16 in the fourth quarter on field goals. 32 yards to tie it. And the kick, look out! Look out! It's no good! It's no good!
He's 16 of 16
at
that point.
Yeah. And that is Baltimore Ravens kicker Billy Cundiff, who then had to walk off the field and have a very, very, very long day after that, trying not to look his teammates in the eye. And tried to get on the plane back to Baltimore and not talk to anybody.
It's not like it was 49, 51, 52, which can be really a long kick for some kickers.
Yeah.
It was a gimme.
It was pretty much a gimme for any kicker in the league, and that's the part that hurts so much. I mean, that team spent every second of their careers leading up to this point, and he blew it.
And he blew it.
It hurts so bad.
Can you imagine being that dude?
And I would never want to be a kicker. I would not want that kind of pressure.
Too much pressure, exactly. Yeah. But then, you know, of course, and it's even bigger because it's not just his teammates that he let down. I mean, it's millions of fans, you know, and he, you know, somebody said on Sunday, it's a 5-second mistake that he may live with for the next 50 years, depending on what else he does in his career. Now, if he goes on and they win a Super Bowl, people probably forget about this one. You know what I mean? If the Ravens one day, you know, end up back there again. But anyway, so we started talking about that. We started talking about, this is a pretty high profile because it's a, you know, nationally televised sporting event that has, you know, a lot of people are invested in. But it happens to everybody where you're the weak link in the chain, where you're the person who's responsible for that one thing and you somehow screw it up. And that's the story that we want to get from you on the air here today. If your job was to bring the wedding rings to the wedding and you forgot and now you're in the church and they say, hey, who has the rings? And everybody's looking at you. That's what we want to hear about.
And you faint?
Whatever it is you do, what's that like? We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You were in charge. You let everybody down. You weren't here yesterday, Kevin, when we came up with this idea to do this as a phone topic. But we just assumed you had dozens of examples like this.
How dare you?
You have to be the guy who's always supposed to be in charge of something and then drops the ball, right?
No, I did for the show one time with the Charles Schulz interview, but other than that, it was...
What was that?
Well, Charles Schulz, of course, who does Peanuts.
Yes.
I'm not a huge fan. Bean's a huge fan.
Right.
So they said, this is like 10, 15 years ago, they said, when he was still alive, they said, you guys want to interview him? And Bean was like, yeah, we want to interview him. So we went, we interviewed him, we talked about every Peanuts character and who it related to, and it was somebody in his life and how Peanuts represented him or whatever. I can't remember.
And even though you're not a big fan of the strip, he was a fascinating interview
and told
a really good story.
Yeah. So then... the next day we were doing another interview and I said, I sure hope we aren't taping over the Charles Schulz interview as a joke. And then we went on and did these interviews and we were taping over the Charles Schulz interview, which never aired.
Oh, it never got heard.
God.
So that happened. And I'm sure I've done that 100 times since. But most of the time it isn't that bad, right, Bean? Come on now.
How about you, Beer Mug? You must have dropped the ball a lot in your life.
You seem like a guy who doesn't come through when
you're really expected to.
Never.
People know better than to ask him to do big things.
Maybe that's it. Maybe people learn not to count.
You look around and you go, who am I going to ask
to take care of this? Not that guy.
This is important.
Not
so
this
it won't
girl.
Be
Lisa,
him.
This has never been you.
I'm trying to think. If it has, I lied my way out of it.
Well, yeah, we all do that.
Yeah.
If
but,
you can.
So it doesn't stick in my head at the moment, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are lots of times where, you know, you're going on a trip or something and you were in charge of getting the airline tickets right or getting the passports right.
Tell us about yours. You only hurt you. But, we're talking about you let everybody down. If you had somebody with you, tell us your story anyway because it's so funny.
Well, I showed up at the airport, walked up to the – took a cab to the airport because I was going to be gone for, you know, 2 weeks and walked up to the international departure ticket window and I said, hey – I'm checking in for my flight to Helsinki. And the guy behind the counter said, not with this expired passport, you're not.
Yeah.
And in my head, all I could hear was, wah, 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 wah. Now, you're right. I was the guy who was traveling by himself, so I hurt nobody but myself, except, you know, by the time I got another cab and got back home, my wife was already in bed with a black guy. So, I mean, clearly she was disappointed as well.
Sure.
But, that's the type of thing where you're in charge of one tiny detail and somehow you screw up and everybody hates you. So that's what we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. Your Billy Cundiff moment. Why don't we start with, Esty. It says Esty. I bet that's not right.
Esty.
Esty. Hi, yeah.
Hi.
I was, hi, Lisa Meyer, first of all.
Hello.
I was a water polo goalie and imagine, like, that's another situation where, the goalie can make or break the game there.
Of course. Yeah.
Anyway, so the whole game, we're going back and forth with the high school team, just back and forth, just they shoot, I block, we shoot, they block, and bam, 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 back and forth. Last second of the game, we're tied, and the ball's coming at me, it's just so much ruckus, and this guy shoots it, and I just go, just on my mind, and then turns out the ball hit the water just like right in front of me, and as of all that might, I just went up. The ball just slowly gently under my arm.
Oh.
So it was a really, really easy one to stop.
I should have blocked it.
Because you just overblocked it.
Did the rest of your team just get out and just shake their heads no? Just like
I just stayed, like at that point, I just went under the water. I just wanted to
get up.
Yeah.
Never to be seen again.
Yeah. He was trying to drown himself, but he couldn't do it.
But, you know, it's funny, Esty, because it's easy in sports to be the last guy at the plate who strikes out to, you know, to not go to the World Series or whatever, or to be – look, how many times even in World Cup play, Kevin, how many times have we seen a goal be scored that was unbelievably easy? It was just a fluke moment. In athletics, it is easy to be that guy who just doesn't handle it right. That's a little more understandable than people in their real life who are supposed to, you know, pick up a prescription before somebody dies. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Sure. Hey, how about that prescription? I'll go get it. Do you have time?
So we want to find out how you were the person that everybody was counting on and you let everybody down. This could be your worst moment. Maybe you don't want to remember this, but we're dying to hear about it. Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean. Hey, start cleaning up the studio a little bit. A couple of LAPD are coming in just after 8 o'clock today for interviews. Hey, man, you don't know, man. You don't know. They look pretty real to me. Stars of Southland on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now we're talking about you let everyone down. You were responsible for one thing. You blew it, just like the kicker for the Baltimore Ravens over the weekend, which is why they didn't get to go to overtime and try to beat the Patriots. Here's a great example before we go back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Mark writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, I was a theater major in college. I was backstage hanging out, and I forgot to come out on my cue. I left all the other actors on stage ad-libbing for several minutes waiting for me. After the play, they're like, hey, how hard is it to come out when you hear that line?
Here comes Billy Cundiff, the tie of this game, and in all likelihood, send it to overtime.
In all likelihood, first of all.
The last 2 years, 16 of 16.
16 of 16.
In the fourth quarter on field goals, 32 yards to tie it. And the kick, look out, look out, it's no good, it's no good.
For him, easy kick, blew it.
Let's try David. He is on line 5, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. David was a teacher at the time. What happened, dude?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa Mack.
Good morning.
What'd you do?
So it was my first year teaching, and we were administering the statewide test, the school test, which I had done before working at a high school. This was my first year at a middle school. Because I had done it before, I assumed my kids could use calculators on the math section, which they were not allowed to. And when it was discovered, I was reported, and the whole school's test scores for the year were null and void.
Oh, Every single student?
Every student, the whole school. Got no scores for the year.
Nice.
That's brutal.
And what can they do to make that up? Take it again, or do they even get that chance?
No, that's it. Well, no, yeah. We got a score, but it doesn't count for the school. So we have a hole in our record now.
Sweet. Did you get fired or reprimanded at all?
No, I got written up. But, you know, at the same time, the vice principal at the time was supposed to give us the training on the test, which she did not.
Right.
So I kind of was able to squeak by and say, well, you know, you didn't tell me, so I didn't know.
Dude, the teachers union would have protected him if he had killed people. Don't worry about him. He's fine.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Rhonda. Rhonda is on line 3 and joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for holding on. What happened?
Oh, hi, Kevin and Bean and Lisa.
Good morning.
I was traveling with my boyfriend in Indonesia, and they only have a 30-day visa, so you have to leave the country and then come back if you want to stay longer.
Right.
And I neglected to remember that July has 31 days, so we are leaving. And we got stopped by the cops there in their airport, and we were put in their little airport jail. And
nice.
Had to pay a nice fine, and we had scary gun-holding, non-English-speaking police officers wondering why the hell we were still in their country.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So,
How inexcusable to have non-English-speaking police officers in Indonesia, by the way, right?
Exactly. I know. They should have.
Wow.
It was there for me, but yes. And then I had to pay $500 fine.
Ouch.
To get us out of the country, which, of course, backpacking we didn't really have, but, yeah. Wow.
Kevin, what's that show you watch, Kevin, about getting locked up in foreign prisons?
Locked Up Abroad.
It's just called Locked Up Abroad. Rhonda, yeah, we'll look Rhonda. For you on that. So thank you for the call.
Best show ever. They told me I would make $8,000, and I just figured it wouldn't be much trouble.
Cut
right. Deep in jail.
Let's try Michelle. Let's talk about a colossal epic fail. Michelle, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, guys. Thanks. So, a few years ago, we take a road trip over to Tahoe, and we swing by and pick up some friends in San Jose. We get to Tahoe, have a great time. We decided we would leave the cabin, check out early to hang out with friends in San Jose when dropping them off. We get to the gas station, fill up. Everybody's having a good time, and as soon as we left the gas station, we stalled, and I ruined everybody's day because I accidentally pumped diesel into my girlfriend's car.
You put diesel gas in, which of course will ruin.
Yeah, what kind of permanent damage does that do to an engine if you run a tank of diesel?
Absolutely ruined her Lexus, and that was just horrible. I mean, beyond embarrassing. It was just too bad that we couldn't spend the day like we wanted to, and I was just mortified. You know what else is just so stupid? Is I recall when I was pumping the gas, that the nozzle didn't fit.
Really? So you were like, I've got to figure out a way to make this nozzle fit. That's what she said.
I was aiming the stupid gas. I was making sure that the gas would aim in there properly.
Wow. Oh, my God. So what happened with you and your friend? I mean, did you guys stop being friends after this, or did you have to pay her a lot of money for her car? What happened?
No, I didn't know after the fact. She was super sweet, and it was a lease, so she told me it would be taken care of. I learned much, much later that she did pay a small fine for fixing it and for all of the trouble, she was really great.
She's a good friend, then. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you, Michelle.
Let's try Rich. Rich had the white-hot spotlight on him with friends and family around and somehow managed to fail. Hi, Rich. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Karen B. Lisa May. You guys talked about forgetting the wedding rings at a wedding. Well, 5 minutes before we're supposed to walk down the aisle, I realized the wedding rings are at home in my desk drawer.
At your own wedding?
At my own wedding.
Isn't that why they have somebody else do it? Because you, as the groom, have too many other things on your mind?
Yeah, well, I was supposed to give them to the best man, and I failed on that part. So
what did you do? You just sent somebody home and held up the wedding, or?
No, there was no time, so I just freaked out, and we had to borrow, like, my friend's wedding rings, and, you know.
It is fake, but you just said, this is your ring, this is my ring, and then you went back and got the real ones.
Oh, no, as his bride, I'm thinking, whoa.
Is this a bad omen?
Yeah, I'm only relying on this guy for the rest of my life.
she was pretty pissed.
And how long did you stay married before she realized that she had to leave you?
Still married.
How about that? Wow, considering, well, at least you got a funny story to tell about the day you got married. Well done.
Thanks.
Looking ahead this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, if you're a fan of the UFC like we are, you know this weekend is the second of the UFC on Fox fights. And what a lineup. We're going to be talking to a bunch of people, including Sugar Rashad Evans tomorrow here on the program. Chael Sonnen and Michael Bisping are going to be on Thursday's show.
Together.
I know. Isn't that weird that they're doing press together when they're getting ready to go in and try to kill one another on Saturday night?
That's awesome.
Also, Tito Ortiz, while we're in that realm, is going to be joining us on Friday, too. So we got a lot of good stuff coming up this week if you are a fan of the fight on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Plus, we've got Tom Beers in studio. He's the guy who
Bean loves everything he's ever done.
Excuse me, 1,000 Ways to Die is him. He's the executive producer of Storage Wars. He's got a new show called Bering Sea Gold. This guy is awesome. Dr. Drew on the program.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay, you're having people on your show. We get it. Oh, what a surprise. There are going to be people on your show.
Wow.
Roland?
Yes, it's Roland.
Jay Moore is going to be in studio with us tomorrow.
Sweet Jesus. Oh, my Lord.
What's wrong with you? Why? How come you keep butting in?
Why aren't you talking about the most important story of the day?
What are we missing now?
Come on. Everybody's talking about it.
Okay.
They announced it early this morning.
The Oscar nominations. You're talking about the Oscar nominations. You want to complain that some science fiction movie didn't get a nod.
We covered those.
Oscar nominations.
We talked about
those. Did those come out this morning?
Is that what you meant about the big
news? No, I'm talking about the announcement of all the Avengers superhero-themed colognes that are going to be on sale.
Oh, yeah, we did miss that.
They're releasing Avengers cologne.
What's that?
You can smell like your favorite superhero now.
But they're not real people. They're just cartoons.
They are not cartoons. Tell that to Robert Downey Jr. and to Chris Hemsworth.
Right, those are actors.
And to Chris Evans.
Those are actors who are playing cartoons from comic books.
It's Avengers cologne. You can smell like Captain America.
How does Captain America smell?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. The new Patriot cologne makes you smell just like Captain America.
Okay.
It is both reserved and sexy, like a symbol on a shield or a moniker on a motorcycle helmet. Fresh notes of green lime and white pepper are the first to hit, with dry oak wood, sandalwood, and tequila accords finishing the adventure.
This sounds dumb.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my God, it smells so good. Oh, it makes me want to just go out there and fight crime.
Please do.
Dressed like a flag.
You said flag, right?
Yes.
Okay.
There's Mark 7 cologne is the Iron Man cologne.
Okay.
Why don't they call it Iron Man? Do they not have the licenses to use the names?
No.
Oh, it's a knockoff cologne then.
It's not a knockoff. It's dedicated to Iron Man.
Okay, but it's called...
It's hilarious because it's got smells like Mandarin in it. Isn't that funny?
I don't get that.
You don't know who Iron Man's villains are, do you?
No.
No.
All right, well, also they've got Worthy cologne. Worthy.
Worthy cologne.
Yes.
And that's for who?
That's for Thor. Oh, it smells like ginger and wheatgrass. Just like Thor himself.
Now, how would you know that?
Oh, yes, it smells like Asgard.
Smells like ass.
What?
I'm just saying.
And there's Hulk cologne, too, called Smash.
Smash?
Hulk cologne.
Okay.
Ah, Hulk smell good.
Wow. You know you can't wear all of these colognes at the same time, right? You know how that...
I'll Hulk get ladies with Smash cologne.
I don't think that's going to help you, though.
Roland.
Make you smell like I'm green and radioactive.
Don't overdo it with the cologne. That's too much. It's too much cologne.
Avengers cologne assemble.
Roland, slow down on the cologne.
I smell like all of them now at once.
Oh, that's got to be a disaster.
Where's Hawkeye's cologne? I'm missing Hawkeye.
Who's Hawkeye?
Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye. Okay. Right. He shoots arrows.
I'm sure you probably have enough cologne for the day.
I need a Hawkeye cologne.
Maybe for
your
the
basement
week.
Is going to reek for the next year down there. Come on, Roland.
Oh, I smell like somebody scratched and sniffed a bad magazine.
That is actually excellent for electronics, I've heard. No, they love liquid.
Diet Coke is an excellent cleaner for laptops, I've understood.
I figured if I doused it in Diet Coke, it would be spotless.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was the
idea.
It's
going to be perfect.
Maybe carburetors, now that I think about it. I'm sorry. Maybe different.
Oh, that's right. That's how you clean your battery, is you put it in Coke. That's right. Yeah. Hey, actors Ben McKenzie and Michael Cudlitz are in the next room, joining us right after the top of the hour. A little TV show called Southland.
I am not looking forward to this.
On TNT. They're fine. They're actors.
Saw it. There's a very chilly relationship between those two.
In real life, they're fine.
Since Cutlitz went to rehab, he is back now on the show, and apparently Ben McKenzie does not like him anymore. So.
Those are just the actors, and they play the characters.
Wouldn't even look at him, Bean.
I don't think so.
For God's sakes, get a clue.
Yeah.
All right. We'll let them sort it out when they join us next on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph is here for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
And we can talk about Pootie Tang, too. That's all I care about is Pootie Tang.
Yeah, she's something else, right?
Yeah. All right. And the way Dewey sets up that YouTube video, you think it's going to be something
hot. It's going to be sex, yeah.
Dewey's a douchebag.
Yeah.
Then you see the video, and it's not that at all. It's not what you want to see.
It's the opposite of
with Lucy Liu at all, by the way.
No, not at all.
I'm thinking, geisha girl outfit. You know, she's working undercover at a massage parlor or something.
They keep referring to her.
Damn that show. Damn that Southland with what they do to me every week.
Yeah.
How they twist my head.
I love it.
One of the best shows on TV. Can't wait to get to it. So let's just ignore this part and just move on.
Well, you have to go through the show,
Bill. Oh, please.
And that's scheduled till after the top of the hour.
All right. I don't know if you heard it this morning or not, but they did announce the Oscar nominations for the show on Sunday, February the 26th. The Academy Awards will be given out. Here are your nominees. Real brief list. Just burn through the big categories. Best Supporting Actress, Octavia Spencer for The Help, and Jessica Chastain from that same film. Janet McTeer from Albert Hobbs. Melissa McCarthy from Bridesmaids, and Berenice Bijou for The Artist.
Gotta tell you, Albert Hobbs had me from the beginning. I just love, I adore that project.
Knobs.
Knobs.
Did I say Hobbs?
Whatever that is. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
And you didn't see it. Ken.
Right, exactly.
Best Supporting Actor, Kenneth Branagh. His turn as Sir Laurence Olivier in My Week with Marilyn got him nominated. Jonah Hill for Moneyball. Nick Nolte for Warrior. Christopher Plummer for Beginners. And Max von Sydow for Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
I'd like to point out that Kevin is the only person in Hollywood who outwardly said Nick Nolte will get an Oscar nomination for The Warrior.
Yeah,
nobody else said that.
At the time The Warrior came out, I said it.
Yeah, you talked about it. And he did get a few mentions as a potential for a couple other awards that I don't think he was even nominated for, but you were the one who called it from get-go.
Me, yeah,
Golden
all
Globes,
people.
Golden Globes weren't there. The SAGs weren't there. Kevin's the only one who got it right.
Hell, even I didn't think I'd be nominated. I mean, who would expect that sort of thing?
Best Actor. Demian Bashir for A Better Life, George Clooney for The Descendants, Jean Dujardin for The Artist, Gary Oldman for Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, Brad Pitt for Moneyball. Best Actress, Meryl Streep, perennial nominee for The Iron Lady, Viola Davis for The Help, Michelle Williams as Marilyn Monroe in My Week with Marilyn, Rooney Mara for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and Glenn Close for Albert Nobbs as well. Your Best Picture nominees, there are 9 this year that the Academy thought was deserving of being nominated. The Artist.
Of course.
The Descendants. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
which I initially thought was a movie about having Bean in the studio when he comes to visit. Extremely loud and incredibly close. It's just very uncomfortable on so many levels.
Seems to be the one that the internet is most rebelling against the nomination for, that they thought it was just so-so.
That, and I'm getting a lot of static, not me personally because I had nothing to do with these, but a lot of people very upset that Albert Brooks was not nominated for his turn in Drive.
Yeah.
People say he should have been nominated for supporting actor. Drive pretty much got ignored. And Young Adult also got ignored. Charlize Theron and our buddy Patton Oswalt, we also thought was a chance he would be nominated, were ignored as well. Hugo, Midnight in Paris, The Help, Moneyball, War Horse, and The Tree of Life are your nominees for Best Pictures for the Oscars. It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are available for your entertainment dollar. Here's what you can pick up. Bangarang by Skrillex. New CD. Resolution by Lamb of God.
Would it kill Skrillex to wash his hair?
Would it come to learn how to spell? I can barely pronounce his name when I read it in print. Skrillexow. Umlaut.
I don't think there's two W's in
pi,
it.
Pi 8.5, I think is how he spells it now.
Have you heard that new song, that Bangarang, that new Skrillex song? We're playing it here on Q-Rock. Yeah. Have you guys heard it?
Yeah.
Because I have a little bit of it if you haven't heard
I'd
it.
I'd love to hear Bangarang.
It is kind of a bizarre kind of music that just seems to be taking over K-Rock these days.
Don't think I forgot, let you slide, let me ride, just another homicide. Yeah, it's me, so I'm a talk on, stomping on easy streets that you can walk on, so strap on your cubs and hat your locks. Oh, loke.
Wow.
Wow. That is different.
He's going a different direction.
Every time Lisa raps, all I can think of is a little girl jumping rope.
It's true.
And huh. I'm a gangster and I got all my guns and I'm going to the city and I'm going to have some fun. She's double dutching all the time. Come Black by the Scorpions. Do you want to pick up the new Scorpions? Hey, Kevin, this one's for you. Chimes of Freedom, new CD. The Songs of Bob Dylan by various artists.
All right. No.
If you've always wanted to hear Miley Cyrus singing the greatest hits of Bob Dylan, now's your chance.
More than anything. DVDs are available today for your enjoyment. U2, From the Sky Down by U2 and Davis Guggenheim, the documentary about making...
that was fascinating.
The album that's called... I can't think of it right now. Don't email. Don't bother to email. I'll find out by the time I read your email, so don't worry about it. Bean, you should know this.
I'm not listening. I'm sorry.
I should know this, too. I know it.
Come on.
What are we talking about?
U2 from the Sky Down. The documentary about making which album?
Was it
War? Is it War?
No. Is it Ak-Chung Baby?
Ak-Chung Baby. That's the one. Okay, no emails. No phone calls. God bless.
Ralph@krock.com.
Real Steel starring Hugh Jackman, also available on DVD, and 50-50 starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen. You can pick that up. Today's celebrity birthdays. Misha Barton of The O.C. is 26 years old today. Ed Helms from The Office turns 37. Matthew Lillard, who is currently can be seen in The Descendants. Oscar-nominated film. He is 42 years old today. Aaron Neville, singer-songwriter, is 71. Ernest Borgnine, Oscar-winning actor, while we're talking about Oscars. One for Marty in 1954, I think. He is 95 years old today. And singer Neil Diamond. Neil Diamond, the legend, celebrates his 71st birthday today. I'm old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Give me some of that creepy Southland music, would you? Because I like seeing what it does to Ralph when he hears the music.
Yeah.
You all right?
No, sounds like someone's possessed.
Time for roll call now. Is Officer Sherman here? Hello, Officer Sherman. Can you hear me? Come in, please.
President accounted for, sir.
Officer Cooper. Officer Cooper, are you in contact? Hello.
Don't talk to me like that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Can you stop playing cop for a minute, Bean? Can you stop playing
that? Hey, how often do I get to be the guy working the radio? Come on. Actors Ben McKenzie and Michael Cudlitz from the TV show Southland Tuesday night at 10 on TNT are back on the Kevin and Bean Show, and their show is back just 1 week for now, their fourth season. Way to go, guys. Congratulations.
Thanks. Thank you. Yes, we never thought we'd be here.
One of the best damn shows on television. And I was telling these guys, I'm a huge fan. One of the top three cop shows ever in history of television. Whoa, I mean, it's right up there.
Wow. What are the other two?
I'd have to say NYPD Blue. Is up there.
Yes. First season of Southland.
And the first season of Southland. You guys take two of the top three slots. Yeah.
It's weird how that happens. No, I would say The Shield would be my other pick.
You could argue
it's a
for that.
Fantastic show.
Yeah. But, you guys fans of The Wire?
The Wire.
So, yeah. So maybe Wire.
But none of those are on television anymore. So you guys rule now.
All right, fifth. But fifth's okay.
Six. The first episode back was everything you could have hoped for in a Southland episode and more. I'll tell you. It was. It really just tweaked your head every step of the way. Every time you thought you knew what was going on, they would kick you in the nads. And then out of nowhere, sometimes they would just give you an extra kick in the nads in case you weren't paying attention.
Exactly.
Just to make sure.
Boy, was that great television.
It seems like most of the guest actors on your show get killed, though. I mean, if you get hired
you're
for
Southland. You're kind of like a red shirt on,
yeah,
on Star Trek.
Totally. There's like a 20% chance you're going to live to see another episode. Man, well, the body count was insane.
You don't want to be Regina King's partner. You don't want to be Lydia's partner.
Sure.
You are given,
that.
You're about four episodes. That's your arc. And then you just disappear. No one really knows what happens to you.
I want to hear from you guys, since there is such a long history of police dramas on television. I mean, I'm sure this is something you thought about when you took the job originally, is, hey, how are they going to do another cop show, and how are they going to make it special? How are they going to make it different? How is it not going to be just cliches or something we've seen before? Tell me about what that's like on Southland, how it is they're able to make something new out of a genre that we've seen to death.
I think it's just the aesthetic of everything is as realistic as possible. I mean, the police shootout that took place in the premiere episode last week, that's based on a real shooting that took place in Detroit, right? Mm-hmm. And you can see that if you Google Detroit police shooting, you'll see the security cam footage, which we actually used on our episode. I mean, our version of that same footage, which is just a guy walking into a police station with a fully loaded shotgun and opening fire on the officers.
That was so bizarre because everybody was like 6 feet away.
Yeah.
But hiding and shooting and hiding and shooting. And you'd think, you know, you're 6 feet away. You can hit somebody.
Yeah, and because the officers are so caught off guard, I mean, they're literally throwing trash cans at them, which is what we were doing in the show, too, and, you know, throwing paper at them. And so, I mean, they can't get to their sidearms fast enough, or they're not loaded, or they can't, whatever. And
you're also shooting over a desk, too. You're stuck, and it's like the Wild West.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it's that sloppy, you know? I mean, it's not as pretty and well, it's not a well-choreographed, you know, Quentin Tarantino, Kill Bill flight. It's going to be kind of sloppy, and so I think it starts from there, and then everything works outward from the realism, right?
Speaking of that fight, that was the dude from the coffee shop, right? The guy who comes with the shotgun? Yeah, okay.
I always said, in regards to the show, I've always said that we're not telling any stories that are new. We're telling stories in a new way. And it's the way they're shot, it's the perspective, it's the point of view that the show has that is different than any show that's been done before. And John Wells has this ability to sort of reinvent, you know, genres. You know, ER was not the first medical show, but ER brought us a medical show in a way that we'd never seen it before. And I feel like he's done the same thing with the creative team with, you know, Chris Chulak, our creative director, and Jimmy Murr, our DP, who is so integral into telling these stories. It really is sort of like a documentary first person view of these stories. So it's very emotional.
We have Ben McKenzie and Michael Cudlitz in the studio. Tell us about your two characters and how they are starting out the season.
Well, first of all, Michael Cudlitz did not go to rehab. Thank you for saying that in the earlier piece.
Did John
Cooper
pretty sure
went
you did.
To rehab.
John Cooper. No, that's who we met. John Cooper. That was Ralph.
But if it gets people watching, Michael Cudlitz went to rehab.
No, Michael Cudlitz went to rehab like 10 years ago.
Exactly. That's such an old story. It's old news.
Now, we were kidding, but you guys, former partners last season, finally Sherman gets Cooper into rehab. The first time they see each other, this episode, sometime has passed a year or so, I guess, since you had the back surgery.
It's 6 to 8 months, I think, we've determined.
And a chilly reception for two guys who used to be partners together.
Yeah, we didn't end too well, I guess. And I'm not sure we've kept up.
It was a bad
up.
Breakup.
Yeah. We haven't been going to bars on, you know, our off-duty. We kind of go to two different kinds of bars. Yeah.
I don't know if he ever really brought me that you know change I mean? Of clothes from last year that I asked for.
So now in the new season, we're both, all three partnerships are new. Regina King has a new partner. Michael's teamed up with Lucy Liu, and I'm teamed up with Sean Hattasy. And it is kind of a relaunch of the show, a rebirth of the show. I mean, you know, it's just a completely different
It's
dynamic.
Really not about Sherman being a rookie anymore. Now he's a full-fledged cop. He's out there on the street.
Absolutely. This year, my character is all about making his own mistakes and kind of having to own them and learn them, as opposed to having a training officer, you know, over his shoulder, you know, browbeating him. Tonight, he's going to make a pretty big mistake involving some teenage girls. Not the mistake you think.
How do you know what we think?
Yeah, that's right. I saw Ralph's smile.
Well, that's the problem.
guys never deliver them. When I get those lusty sort of depraved thoughts in my head, you guys never deliver what I think you're going to give me.
Well,
I was waiting for the Lucy Liu video last week. Yeah. Not what I wanted to see at all.
Lucy Liu. For those of you who didn't see the show, they kept referring to this Lucy Liu, her character,
YouTube
Officer
video,
Tang.
Right.
Yes.
Pootie Tang, as they call her.
Her YouTube video. And we kept thinking, what is it? Is she like stripping?
Well, you got Thomas Howell. You got Dewey there just being so lascivious when he's selling that video. You're saying, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be hot. Not hot.
It wasn't hot at all.
No.
So it was like a
well, actually,
nine
he didn't
foot...
say the video was hot. He said the video was mind-blowing.
Yeah,
it was,
but he said it in that lascivious way. You
but
thought,
you just,
oh.
Look, you read that into it, pal.
I did. That's what I'm saying.
We know where your mind is.
So, we finally see it, and she's fighting. This nine-foot guy gets out of the truck. I've never seen a person that tall, big.
That is
around like a ragdoll.
Every day.
That is our AD. That's our assistant director. Yeah. His name is Milos, and he's
the most gentle, kindest person you'd ever want to meet.
How tall is he?
He's literally 7 feet tall, or 6'8". 6'8", 6'10".
Wow.
And he used to play offensive line for UCLA. I mean, he is a monster of a guy.
I bet when he calls you to set, you go.
Oh,
you
go. Yeah.
He doesn't call you to set, he comes and picks you out.
That's right.
You're coming with me.
All right, this may sound like a stupid question, but that's what I'm famous for. Have you guys been playing police officers long enough that you no longer feel like little boys running around with fake guns? You actually can put yourself in the mindset of, hey, I'm LAPD, when you put on that uniform and start shooting some of those scenes, because it is so realistic looking.
I can't wait to see TMZ where one of these guys is trying to arrest somebody for real.
I think it gets easier for us to get into that mindset, but we're always mindful that we're actors and we're kids running around with guns. We're very respectful of that.
You're always reminded, because you'll do a great take, you know, you're chasing a guy down the street and you're freeze, stop, drop it, cut. And then the hair and makeup people come out with their little pads, and they're sort of touching you. Like, get away from me, I'm a cop.
You get a mask like
this. They're touching your hair. Like,
yes,
I
but
know,
you're shiny. You're shiny.
You know what? The impression I get when I watch your show, though, and I guess this has got to be real if you're LAPD. I mean, that is a tough job, and that's a special type of person who goes into that line of work. It seems like you're always looking. You're always, like, out of the corner of your eye, what's going to go wrong next? Like, what is happening right now? And constantly you guys are surprised by things that are happening, or the situation just changes on a dime. And that just must be so unbelievably stressful for real police officers to go through an entire day like that every single day.
Yeah. We've done, all of us have done ride-alongs with the LAPD. And I think that's one of the things that you are really made aware of almost immediately, is that, you know, anything can happen from any direction. It's not just, you know, the radio calls that you're responding to. It's every time you stop at a stoplight or people look at you, it's like you're a magnet for all this not so good stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
You can never a good surprise.
And you can always understand, too.
I bring you a cake.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm so happy to see you. You can also understand when you watch your show, some of the veteran officers have been beaten down by that experience to the point where their view of humanity is not a positive one any
right.
longer. You know, that's why it's great to see through Sherman's eyes, who's sort of new to it.
Right.
And then you bring in someone like Lou Diamond Phillips this season, who is just pretty much given up on mankind. And he's just, like he says, you know, picking up the garbage every day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we have that kind of philosophical debate at the end of the last episode about what's the role of cops. He says we're just there to clean the sewers. You know, I mean, we're just the
same. Do we have that clip, I think?
I'm not positive what order they're in. We'll find it. We need to take a break.
Okay.
We need to take a break. We'll find it and continue the conversation just a minute. Here on the world famous
actors Ben McKenzie and Michael Cudlitz are in studio here. Mr. Cudlitz is recently out of rehab. We're happy to hear that
he's
doing well.
No, his character.
John, that's what I heard.
His character, yeah. John Cooper.
Their like show is about the rehab.
Southland, of course, Tuesday nights at 10 on TNT. It's so, so good. Ralph, before we broke, we were going to set up and play a scene from the premiere episode from season 4. What do we got here?
Yeah, because we were talking about the fact there's no heroes on this show. You know, everybody is damaged to a certain extent. They got their good sides, they got their bad sides, and you can both see both points of view. In this scene, Ben's character is talking to Lou Diamond Phillips, who's been on the job for a long time, and he has sort of
he's a beaten man.
He's given up on humanity, more or less, and he doesn't really care what happens. And Sherman is still sort of optimistic about his role as a cop. It's a great scene in the locker room.
It's time to pick a side.
Well, I have a side. I earn what they pay us, and I do the damn job the way they taught us.
See, for real? The job is to shovel this city so the good people of this metropolis can pretend it ain't there. That is what they pay us for. You're going to figure that out, Junior, or trust me, you ain't going to last.
Yeah, well, hopefully by then you'll be working security at Rite Aid, so...
Hey! Hey! Knock it!
Rite Aid!
Take him down.
That's right.
Take him down.
And then we kiss.
Okay. Yeah. I think that was what the sound effect.
Rite Aid is not the safe word.
So on TNT, you're allowed to air the S word, but not the F word. Is that what I'm picking up here?
Yeah, the F word's the biggie. Yeah.
That's the one you still can't use.
Tight asses over there.
Loosen up a little bit. You mind if we take a call?
No, let's go.
This is Chris, who is a Long Beach PD officer. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good, thanks.
Good, good. I just want to call and say thanks for making it realistic. There's so, as you guys talked about already, so many cop shows out there. The movie Training Day, that was out of control. And this show right here, Southland, it's right on the way the cops act while you're on training. It's hardcore. They treat you really hard, even in the academy. When you get out of the academy, everything, the high stress, the senior officers of what they've been through and how long they've been there, and the rookie comes in. I mean, I've been an officer for 10 years. I started out very young. So when I see these guys and how they act, it's right on. I don't know if you guys are taking the great lessons from the advisors that you have on set, but it's very good, and you're dedicating whatever. You're doing a great job. That's all I want to call and say, that it's very rare to find a police a show that's to the point and exactly on it. So thank you very much. I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you,
Chris. Quite an endorsement there, huh? Well, you do occasionally hear from police officers who say, I wouldn't have done it that way, right?
Sure. Every once in a while, but the interesting thing is...
And they're dicks, right? Those people.
You know what? Yeah, pretty much.
But you guys don't shy away.
They're not
away.
On television. We are. So, you know, it's like too bad.
You guys don't shy away from making some of the cops not great guys.
Yeah.
Not everybody's a hero, like I mentioned. You got Dewey, who's
most
a mess.
Most of them.
Lou Diamond Phillips' character is a mess.
Right.
John Cooper,
right.
for yes. a lot of this show, has right. been a mess.
Well, if right. everybody out there in their cars and their homes right now, I mean... We're all a mess, and there's a,
right.
a great line coming up in one of the episodes where one of the characters talks about, you know, where do you think they get cops from?
Right.
Know, it's like they come, they're people.
We talked right, about this right. last time. Like I said, you're the last two people I want responding to my call because you can't get along with
you're
each
such
other.
A baby.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you guys are fighting amongst each other, and it really, you do kind of expect all cops get along. I don't know if it's just put your head in the sand or what, but it just seems like... This is a little more crazy.
Right.
Are all cops like this? Does everyone fight and backbiting? And
it's like any workplace, I guess.
No,
right?
But if we all got along, it'd be a pretty freaking boring show.
Yeah,
so we
exactly.
have to.
Although I tell you, with Cooper's character, it's great to see now that he's been through rehab and he's had the surgery, the cop that he probably used to be is starting to come back. He's right. like a redemption
yeah.
going
yeah.
on there.
And that's something that
chance.
We're doing with every sort of set of partners in the show. I think that there's everyone's sort of at a restart, but there are decisions to be made through the season of really from this moment forward, what is your future going to hold? What direction are you going to go in? And that is true for all the partnerships and everyone involved in those partnerships.
And you're still shooting it live on the streets like you did before? Explain that situation to people because it's just got to be bizarre as hell.
It was amazing. I was shooting a scene with Sean last week, and we were in the middle of a take on the street. And this woman stops us to ask for directions. I'm not kidding. It's on film. It's in our outtakes. There's a huge panel of lights framed right on him. There's 100 people like just standing there watching us. And she's asking for directions. And she didn't get it until about 30 seconds in when we
that's
said, you know,
funny.
You see all these people with these cameras? That's not...
Wow!
It was pretty amazing.
Yes, yeah. I know. I understand. But where is the... Where
exactly.
is Disneyland?
Exactly. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Just keep going straight,
yeah.
and it's on the right.
You know? She went home, and she's like, those cops in Los Angeles are just jerks.
So rude.
We're almost out of time with Ben and
no,
Michael here.
No.
We're talking about Southland.
No. Let's Tuesday talk night. About this show all day.
Tuesday nights at 10 on TNT. But I have to ask this question, because we've had our hearts ripped out of our chests before. The show's going to stick around, right? This isn't going to be one of those deals where we love, 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 and then it's going to go away like at the end of the season. I mean, please tell me you guys are going to be on the air for a while.
We can guarantee you 9 more episodes.
All right. That's all?
9 more episodes.
I'll tell you, at least.
I'm going to go on Kickstarter and start a fund or something
Let's
to keep it on the air. Whatever.
Whatever
we'll crowdsource
takes.
This. Whatever it happens.
I love it.
I can't live without
this.
Stuff,
is man. A great, great, great show. And we agree on very little here.
Yes. Yes. Ralph, the cops on Southland.
airplane, actually.
Ralph has a lot of backbiting and fighting here.
Taste. Bean has his own taste. It's all crazy, and we all agree Southland is the best show. So if you're not watching it, you're not a friend of ours.
Yes, watch tonight, TNT.
Guys, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our old friend Mike Catherwood joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is going on a pledge this year to only buy United States-made goods, which seems impossible, by the way.
Doesn't seem like
we make enough stuff to be able to live to only buy American, but he's going to tell us how that's going coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, here's a story we mentioned briefly yesterday from Utah. There is a new school that is being built that's going to open in 2012 in Draper, which is in Utah, Corner Canyon High. So they polled students to find out what they wanted their athletic teams to be called. What are we going to be? Are we going to be the Tigers? Are we going to be the Pirates? Are we going to be the – well, they chose the Cougars. That's what the student body came back with. Of the choices that were available to them, they said, we want to be the Cougars.
That's average. Cougars, Eagles, you know, a lot of teams are named.
A lot of Cougars. The Washington State Cougars, of course. BYU has a popular Cougar team. There's a Cougar team in Houston. I mean, it is a very common sports name. Well, although that was the top choice among the student bodies, the school decided not to go with that name because parents complained that the word Cougar has a negative double entendre.
Really? When you say it's a high school team and they're playing, they think they're older women that are hitting on younger guys? Really?
So.
Really, that's happening?
So hasn't the word cougar, and I don't know how long ago we identified that animal and started calling it a cougar, but at least hundreds of years, I would imagine, we've had cougars, right? Why all of a sudden does cougar only mean this other thing, therefore it can't mean the lion anymore or the cat or whatever it is?
That's kind of political correctness. Yeah. I just hate it.
It does seem like you're going way too far, but apparently the school board got many calls and emails opposing Cougars because the word has another meaning because of shows like Cougar Town. So we wanted to find out more about this. Is this reasonable? Did the school make the right decision? Or is this political correctness gone awry? Our old friend Bruce Endicott is back on the line. We have spoken with him many times over the years. He is from the organization called COFFEE. And excuse me, Mr. Endicott, welcome back to the show. I forgot, what does COFFEE stand for our listeners?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
COFFEE stands for Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
That's right. All right. And you're familiar with this story we were just talking about when we brought you on out in Utah.
We're a bunch of upper middle class white people trying to make sure that nobody gets offended by anything.
Yes, that's what we're saying. Exactly. That's ridiculous,
that's
right?
No, it's not. We don't want people to be offended. Do you like offending people? Well, perhaps you do. I've heard your program.
Well, I mean, it depends. People can be way, way, way too touchy, and that seems like this is the case.
We put a lot of pressure on the Corner Canyon High School, and we think they made the right choice.
You put pressure on them?
Absolutely. Cougars is certainly a descriptive word that is a negative connotation to older women who like to bang young dudes.
Okay, yeah, that's true. That has been a common name.
I don't know that it's negative, by the way.
That's an excellent point, Kevin.
But when you look at those old hags, you really just feel bad for them.
Wow.
But, Bruce, it's also a giant cat. A cougar is a cat, right? Just like for BYU.
That's your say-so. We can't take your word for it.
You don't know that a cougar is an actual animal?
Have you ever seen a cougar? I haven't. Maybe they exist, maybe they don't. Oh. I have seen a cougar in a bar, though, trying to pick up on a 22-year-old, so I know for a fact that they exist.
Okay.
All right, so what happens now at Corner Canyon High? Are you continuing to work with them on some of the other names that are on that list that they can choose from?
We've given them a list of names that they certainly can use. Can't. No, this is the rejected mascot list. They cannot use any of these.
Oh, all right.
A bear. No, it can't be the Bears.
There are a lot of Bears.
Like the Chicago Bears football team. That's a great name.
Bears are fat, hairy, gay dudes. And that is just offensive to fat, hairy, gay dudes to call yourselves the Bears.
But that's such a small niche meaning for that word.
Indians, of course. That's right out.
Indians.
Oh, my God. Are they touchy, especially when they drink the fire water. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but isn't that offensive, what
the
you
Trojans,
just said, Bruce?
The Trojans can't use that.
USC Trojan. Why?
What about the people who don't believe in birth control? What about our hardcore Catholic people out there? They will be very offended because they don't believe in using birth control.
It's not about a condom.
Oh, isn't it?
No.
Okay. What is it about, then?
It's about the Trojans from history. They had
historical Trojans.
Oh, man. You're missing the point here, Bruce.
The Bulls can't use that.
The Bulls.
What's wrong with Bulls?
A little too close to BS, if you know what I'm saying. The next thing to follow Bull, you know it is.
Right, yeah. But that's not. Nobody is saying that. They're just
but
saying.
But that's what you're thinking. See, we're trying to correct what people are thinking. Not
no
what
one
saying.
Is thinking that.
The Kings can't use the Kings.
What?
Oh, maybe you like tyranny, but I don't. Okay, I believe in a democratic system of government. We don't have tyranny here. No kings.
Okay, that's not what it means.
Oh, what does a king mean?
Well, that's sort of what it means.
That's exactly
but
what
I mean,
it means. Yeah,
it's not a form of government, though. Is what
giants
I'm saying.
Giants can't be the giants. Offensive
Why?
To those with growth abnormalities. You don't want to make fun of those giant people. It's bad enough they have to look all freakish like Khloe Kardashian. bullets are too violent.
Bullets?
Warriors are too violent.
Come on.
The only one we can find acceptable are the Gamecocks.
Wait a minute. Hold
How
on
do you
a second.
Not have a problem with the Gamecocks?
Because they're just little chickens. They run around and they fight. It's adorable.
But there's okay, not but, a second name for that? I mean, a second
not
meaning?
Not that we can come up with.
Huh.
Yeah. Go Gamecock.
All right.
Ralph has the Showbiz Beat coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then Psycho Mike Catherwood joins us in studio. The number one question that we get here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and has been for many, many years, is how can I get with Lisa May? Well, step one of getting with Lisa May is getting in the same location as Lisa May, and you have an opportunity to do that this weekend. Lisa May making a rare public appearance for the Kevin and Bean listeners.
That's right. It's
coming to the stage, Lisa May, everybody. Lisa May coming to the stage. Get those dollar bills out, fellas.
Is
it one of those kind of appearances?
No, it's not that. No. It's the first step is getting where I am, and the second one is showing me how much you love animals. So this weekend, Saturday, from 2 to 5, I'm going to be at the Wildlife Learning Center. It's their annual fundraiser. It's a really unique place. It's in Sylmar, and it's from 2 to 5, and it's like a zoo except that you can actually have experiences with the animals. You can get up close and personal.
No
you can
bean. No bell. Benicons. No bell.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know.
Go no in and see the sloth. They have a bald
a sloth?
Eagle. Yeah, the sloths are really cool.
Don't blink, though.
Stanley the giraffe will be there. You can feed him. I mean, it's super cool. Cycle Mike came last year. Cat Corbett was also there, and we all had an awesome time. So it's wildlifelearningcenter.com. I tweeted about it. I've got it on my Facebook, and I'll put up a blog as
and
well.
When is this again?
It's 2 to 5 this Saturday.
Saturday from 2 to 5.
Yeah, and I would love to have you come out.
There
and
you
see
go.
You will have a great time.
Is this the place that animals. Operates on the porcupines?
Yes. Oh. When the porcupine last year, you'll recall, had a little vagina problem. But...
Oh, they gave vaginoplasty to a porcupine. There's money well spent here at the Wildlife Learning
All
Center.
All the money goes to take care of the animals.
Yeah, well, they have to have nice vaginas, those porcupines.
Well,
they
you
do.
Know.
Yeah.
It's very nice. All right, Ralph, what you got for us?
Porcupine, you know what I'm saying?
Stop
That's
it.
Where they get the name from. Those animals are whores.
Is that right?
Yeah,
porcupine.
They're always porking. It's Oscar Day. Nominations were announced this morning. Everybody's talking about them. In case you missed them, here's a brief recap of the films and performances that will be potentially receiving awards on Sunday, February the 26th, at the Oscars ceremony. Best Picture: The Artist. That is the black and white silent film. In 2012. What a bold, bold choice to make a film like that, despite what Kevin says.
Kevin, you'll be happy to know the last time a silent movie won the Best Picture Oscar was 1927.
I know, that's why it's
Was it
so...
Wings? Was it Wings?
It was Wings.
Ah! Ha!
That's why it's so cool and unique and hip to make that vote.
Or it's an artistic choice and it's a great movie that benefits from that choice.
Yeah.
You don't know, man.
I'm out. I don't. You're right.
The Descendants, extremely loud and incredibly close. Hugo, Midnight in Paris, The Help, Moneyball, War Horse, and The Tree of Life are all nominated for Best Picture. Best Actor, Demian Bashir for A Better Life, George Clooney for The Descendants, Jean Dujardin for The Artist, Gary Oldman, Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, Brad Pitt for Moneyball. Speaking of Moneyball, his co-star, Jonah Hill, was nominated for Best Supporting Actor, as was Kenneth Branagh for My Week with Marilyn, Nick Nolte for Warrior, Christopher Plummer in Beginners, and Max von Sydow in Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Speaking of Nick Nolte, if you have an office pool, if you're trying to bet on the Oscars, you may want to contact my man Kevin here and ask who he thinks is going to win. Because when the movie Warrior came out, which was basically just, you know, a film this...
It didn't do very big business at
all. No, initially it was supposed to sort of capitalize on the MMA phenomenon, but also it was a well-written, well-acted drama, by all accounts. Kevin saw that film and came in raving about Nick Nolte so much the next day that he made this proclamation.
He's going to get an Oscar for that performance. Watch.
Someone writing down all these quotes because...
Watch.
I Bean get the
remember.
Feeling
right.
the Warrior people will be calling for the DVD box.
If and when he does...
When Nick Nolte wins an Oscar for this performance,
yes... Then what will you give me?
I will give you a crisp $20 bill.
All right.
How about that?
I'll write that down.
All right.
Hereby, please save this tape, would you?
Got it. Crisp $20 bill.
Not much of a tape, is it?
No.
What's wrong with our system?
It's actually one of those wax cylinders that Thomas Edison used to record sound on.
I love that it's 4 years ago. It sounds like it's 400 years ago. Yeah. So you said win. You did not say nominate. So he still has to win in order for you to get the $28, right?
If Nick Nolte wins, Kevin will win a crisp $20.
Seems like a pretty small payout if I call the winner in September, but all right.
Well, at the time, then, you should have been asking for more then. Now, all of a sudden, he's got the nomination, now you want to up the bet. You weren't quite so bold with your initial prediction.
I'm impressed by me enough already.
You know, we're all impressed by you.
You know why we're impressed? That you knew Nick Nolte's name.
How dare you?
That you didn't say, who's the guy who did that movie?
He has that voice.
Come on. Usually that's what we get from you, that you knew who Nick Nolte was.
And he was
I should have
so
just
great.
Handed you a 20 at that point. You knew the name of the movie and the actor. And you were sober.
I can't vouch for that.
Yeah. Best Supporting Actress, Octavia Spencer and Jessica Chastain have both been nominated from The Help. Janet McTeer from Albert Nobbs, Melissa McCarthy for Bridesmaids, and Berenice Bejo from The Artist. Best Actress, Meryl Streep, The Iron Lady, Viola Davis, The Help, Michelle Williams, My Week with Marilyn, Rooney Mara for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and Glenn Close for Albert Nobbs. So those are your big nominations for I was the shocked Oscars. To find out recently that Glenn Close has never won an Oscar.
That is amazing.
Really? Not and even has for been, Fatal Instinct, huh?
Or Fatal Attraction. Attraction, yeah.
And has been nominated, I don't know, like 10 times or something like that, has never won one. Isn't that crazy?
Let's keep it going, people.
I don't think she's going to win for Albert Nobbs either. Although, a woman playing a woman who plays a man?
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff Oscar loves.
Yeah, Oscar does
sure
love
does.
That.
That's the kind of things that Oscars are made of.
While we're talking about great actors, Jeff Goldblum's in the news. He announced his girlfriend. He has come forward with his relationship. He is dating. The only reason I bring this up is because of what she does. Her name is Emily Livingston.
Okay.
Jeff Goldblum's new girlfriend. Now, Jeff Goldblum's, I don't know, 60?
Yeah, probably. Close to it if he's not, yeah.
Probably. Did you see him, by the way, in Portlandia, playing the owner of the knot shop?
So funny.
So funny.
The artesian knot store that he was in.
That was so funny.
His new girlfriend... Professional contortionist, Emily Livingston is her name. She's a professional contortionist. You know what a contortionist is, people? Mm-hmm. Look it up. Look it up at your dictionary.com. Type in contortionist. It's a woman who's so flexible she can form her body into unnatural positions.
Positions that you and I would break bones doing.
This is a woman that makes a yoga instructor look tight. Look like she's got short hammies. That's what a contortionist can do. We had one who used to work for us, remember?
We did, yeah.
Gumby,
and
our intern.
And we made Gumby do it.
We made her do stuff.
Remember when we interviewed her?
I do.
We were like, you're a contortionist?
Yeah, go
do
ahead.
Some stuff.
Do some of that contortion
show
stuff.
Show us what you can do.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Then she eventually hired here, and we stopped all that. We do not condone that sort of behavior.
Of course not.
But it seems like that might come in handy for activities with Mr. Goldblum, though. Right? Am I missing the point?
Well, I think that's a given.
That is the point.
I don't think you're missing anything as much. Point.
It was really,
I don't
pretty
think
much
we really
on,
needed you to pick point that out
on the nose before you spoke.
I'm just saying there are things that she can do that would
Jesus.
Make. Okay,
I'm being. We should do a phoner sometime of weirdest professions that your significant others have had. You know, you dated a fire eater or something. You know, I'd love to hear what people do. The contortionist, that's a good one. Today's celebrity birthdays. It's all about Oscar all the time this morning. Ernest Borgnine, who won an Oscar way back when. He is 95 years old today. Singer Aaron Neville is 71. Neil Diamond is also 71 years old today. I think Neil Diamond won an Oscar for one point, for one
Did
of his
he?
Original songs, yeah, for a movie. Matthew Lillard, who's in The Descendants, which is nominated for an Oscar. He is 42 years old. Ed Helms from The Office is 37. And Misha Barton from The O.C. is 26 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Angels and Airwaves on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. They're going to be here at K-Rock at the Red Bull Sound Space at 3 o'clock this afternoon, aren't you?
What? I'm already here. The rest of the band will join me later. They're on Mars with some dust that turns people into fairies. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Tom DeLonge. Again, Angels
You're
and Airwaves. Your band this afternoon at 3. You can go to KROQ.com and you can watch that live. Our pal Stryker and his tail will be hosting the Q&A and
Stryker
the live performance.
Stryker has a tail. He can't ride it all the way around the rings of Saturn. just wrote a new song. Okay. Bounce Striker's tail. Lisa May's hair looks really nice.
All yeah. right, Tom, listen, we're going to ask you. We're going to ask you to step out right now, if you don't mind, because we need to bring in our next guest. He is the co-host of the nationally syndicated Loveline radio show with Dr. Drew 5 nights a week right here on Good Old K-Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Catherwood.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Hey, Mike.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
How are you, Mike?
Great to be here.
How are we able to book this guest?
I'm huge.
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking... Thanks for carving the time out.
Oh, yeah, very, very demanding day of publicity for me.
What's this BS thing you're doing here with Buy an American? What's this all about?
My website, domesticjourney.com, it details my year of 2012. Well, I will purchase exclusively American-made goods.
All right. How did this whole thing get started for you, Mike?
Kind of really organically. It was just something that I thought would be interesting to try, and I gave it a shot. I did kind of like a trial run in 2010 and failed miserably.
I was going to say, is it way harder than any of us know?
In many regards, it's very difficult. And in others, it's pleasingly easy. But it takes some work. To be honest, the only thing so far, and I'm obviously at a very young stage in this journey, being it's, you know, the middle of January, but the only thing I've had zero ability to purchase has been sex toys thus far.
Is that right?
Don't yeah. you have enough?
Well, I went to two different kind of like adult novelty
America?
Shops to buy stuff for a bachelorette party for a lady, and everything I seemed to pick up was Chinese made and stuff. So, but besides that,
so what did you do?
With a little
just
effort,
offer your own. Your own service?
I went home and I created one in my lab. With,
so we don't make any of those in America?
Well, I'm sure we do. But the stuff that I happen to encounter thus far has been all foreign made. But
well, let's talk about some of the big stuff. Now, I noticed that you bought a Cadillac, for instance, when
yes.
you were shopping around for a new car. When Rich Mike finally got the big Loveline dollars, you said, hey, I'm going to go out and buy me a car. And you went out of your way to look and shop American, right?
True.
Okay, and that's worked out great for you.
Now, that being said, I hate to interrupt you, Bean, but a lot of foreign cars are made in America nowadays because it costs so much money to ship them back in. And a good amount of the Cadillac was probably created in other parts of the world, but my Cadillac was assembled and made in Lansing, Michigan.
That you know of.
Yeah.
Well, so, no, I mean, that's how you're getting around it. That's what you're telling yourself.
No, I mean, I open up my car and I look right there. It says proudly made in Lansing, Michigan.
But there are, I mean, that's kind of where I was headed. There are an awful lot of products that are assembled from materials that are either made or grown overseas, though, and then put together in the United States. I mean, it has to be a very gray area to try to track where your products have come from in many cases, right?
Right. And I mean, I made the stipulation that as long as the product that I'm signing on the dotted line for is an American-made product, that's where I have to be able to draw the line, because with the global economy being what it is, most everything has parts
like
that are brought in.
Cell phones, don't they?
Listen, that is the most recent post on domesticjourney.com is about the iPhone. The New York Times wrote a pretty interesting article about the production of the iPhone.
And they'll never make it in anywhere but China. I mean, that's where they are for life.
And the bottom line is when you assemble something like that with electronic parts, it was so many working intricate parts, you just can't, with any type of profit, make that in the United States. Now,
those four-year-old Chinese kids do good work.
That's the bottom line, Kevin, is that Apple executives like to claim that it has to do with the flexibility of foreign workers. But they like to exploit people who are willing to work in horrible conditions for low amounts of money. But the thing for me is that I don't litter because I feel like I shouldn't, but I don't have any real internal desire not to litter. I recycle because I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. When it comes to the support of American workers, and when I open up the paper every day and I see the unemployment rate increasing to, you know, growing and growing, especially in California,
You take credit for it?
No, I had a natural, a real organic passion to try and do something about it. Now, obviously, one middle class guy like myself buying American made goods for a year isn't going to make a big difference.
Middle to upper.
Thank you. Oh, well, Kevin, I don't want to seem too hoity-toity.
What are you doing for a cell phone, Mike?
I kind of made sure that my iPhone was working really well in December of 2011.
Okay, all right.
And I made sure that it's good, and I'm looking at my iPhone right now. If this is to break, I'm effed, and I will have to. I'm going to commit to this wholeheartedly. If my TV tips over in an earthquake, I'll have to go till 2013 without a TV because there's just no way to replace that with an American-made product.
They literally don't make them anywhere in the United States. There's no brand of television or phone.
They don't even assemble them?
I don't believe so. I mean, unless someone knows something I don't. But electronics really is the part of the market that is just you know, totally foreign-made.
Now, food, is that pretty easy, especially a guy like you who eats real healthy? You get a lot of organic stuff that's probably grown as close to home as possible, right?
Yeah, definitely. Living in Southern California is a huge advantage because...
Can't have Mexican food, everything can't have Chinese food, right? I mean,
no,
you can't
Kevin,
have,
it's what? Not a, the, what? The country of origin of the cultural side of the food. It's where it's made.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But, you know, we get such... There's so much fresh fish and fruits and vegetables and everything grown all season long right here in California that food's been pretty easy. But it does take some looking. I mean, for instance, I wanted some bananas, and that was just a no-go. All bananas seem to come from places like Chile.
A lot of fruit comes from Mexico.
Bananas here?
We don't seem to. I mean, look, like I said, if there is some bananas grown in the United States, I haven't been able to find them. But
researching what you spend most of your day doing?
Yeah.
Because it sounds to me like you go bananas. I feel like bananas. And then you have to research it for a half
hour.
Yeah,
and that much. I wrote a post about how investigating everything that I buy has actually made me more frugal. Much like when people keep a diary when they diet, a food diary, just by virtue of writing that down, they eat less and they're more strict on their diet. By having to fully investigate everything that I purchase, it's really made me a lot more conscious of what I'm buying.
I don't have that much energy.
What about,
I'm going to buy extra foreign stuff just to balance you out. Make sure the world stays.
Hey, look, it is about balance.
Trash out, so
it is about balance.
What about like shoes and clothing? Is that difficult?
Oh. No, it actually isn't. And I stand behind this claim, and I'm admittedly a clothes horse and a fashionista.
Which is why I ask you.
Point your fingers if you'd like, fellas. But when it comes to American-made clothing, I still believe some of the finest men's sportswear is made right here in the United States, without question. I'm wearing my Red Wing boots that I've been wearing, you know, for years, and they're awesome, and they stand the test of time, and they're
USA.
That's right.
USA. 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 USA.
Listen. When you get support from a guy like Dick Cheney, you know you're doing something good.
We need to take a break. We will be
our friend Mike Catherwood in studio with us here on the Catherwood Show.
Yeah! All right!
His website is domesticjourney.com about a man's quest to buy only American for 1 year. By the way, a couple of things since we broke. First of all, several listeners have tipped us off, and I know you'll look into this, that the Vizio television is American-made and apparently assembled right here in California.
Hey, fantastic.
That's
right
one of
there
the best
in the 909
news.
There?
That's one of the best, too.
That's awesome, and that leads me to my next thing, is that when we get the kind of the... both Lightning, who's helping me with the kind of the schematics of the website, and myself get an idea about how to better put together the website, we're going to have a submission section for guys and gals who own American-made companies or make American-made products. Or if you happen to have a tip like that, which is a perfect example, you can send it straight to me, and then it'll, you know, help me out.
What was your biggest surprise buying American? Biggest surprise. Like, I didn't realize we made all of those. Or whatever.
I think paper plates and toiletries. I would have thought
paper plates, USA, we rule.
Things like shampoo and deodorant and toothpaste. I thought I was going to be in for a lot of trouble with that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. It turns out a lot of it's made in the U.S. Medical supplies. Very tough.
How many of those are you buying, Mike?
Like what?
Well, I got more tattoo work done, and I went to go buy things like antiseptic and gauze.
Right.
I had to really work hard. I had to go to like two or three different drugstores.
Gauze in China and
yep.
not here?
Oh, yeah. Most wow. Johnson & Johnson products are made outside, and they really kind of have a pseudo-monopoly on that market.
What about roids?
You know, Kevin.
I know they're cheaper in Mexico, but...
You know, a lot of the veterinary-grade stuff is made outside the country. But the good, high-quality, I mean, real elite steroids are made right here in the good U.S. of A.
Excellent.
A couple of questions from the email for you, Psycho Mike, and I know that you're just finding your way. You're into the first month of doing this, and the plan is to do it all year, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, just before you read that email, we'll also take calls. 1-800-520-1067. Go ahead.
Chris writes in, wants to know, what do you do when you need to buy gasoline, all of which comes from overseas?
Oh, well, interesting.
You're right, but crude oil comes from overseas, and then it is most of it is refined and then made into the gas that you use in a combustion engine here in the U.S. But I do investigate.
You get out on a technicality.
No, I don't. The bottom line is, like I said, I had to make the caveat that the things that I'm purchasing have to be American-made goods. I am not buying barrels of crude oil. I'm buying gas to put in my car. Now, I do talk to managers of different gas stations and stuff to make sure that the oil that I the gas that I purchase is
some dude making minimum wage. Will you shut up?
Nothing more frustrating than talking to like a 19-year-old kid, and I'm like, do you happen to know the website for your manager so that I can talk to?
You're like Fred and Carrie in Portlandia trying to track down the history of the chicken they're about to buy.
But
I need to know where the gas was bought and put together.
That's another latent benefit of doing this is that I've been much more conscious about not driving so much because there's two or three gas stations that I know are good, and I have to go out of my way to go to there. So I try to walk as much as I possibly can.
This is just an excuse for you to stay in your house, which is what you normally want to do anyway.
Good point, Kevin.
Yeah. All right, Leah wants to know, what are you doing for music, Mike? I guess you can still buy Metallica. You can still buy Mastodon. They're from Georgia. Are you buying Rammstein albums, though, or are they off the list because they're from Germany?
Well, it's funny you should say that. Some distribution companies of the actual CD itself are from outside of the country. So, I mean,
American artists.
Right. There has been times when I've had to put down a CD, then maybe possibly go to like iTunes and download it directly. But
what about bands?
That's a weird one because you look at it as, let's say I wanted to go see Rammstein live in concert.
Right.
I'm not really I'm not really buying a German product because I'm seeing Rammstein in Hollywood at a venue there, if that makes any sense. So that's the gray area. With music and with entertainment in general, like buying a Blu-ray, I haven't been able to do that because most of the Blu-rays themselves.
No kidding.
Now it depends on how I look at it. Can I go see a foreign film?
Yeah,
you know, that's a weird one where I haven't really been able – I haven't done it yet, but I haven't really been able to decide where that stands.
Because now, the theater gets a cut, and distribution is probably American.
And there are U.S. jobs related to that.
Right, and who knows – exactly like Bean said, who knows where it was edited? Who knows where it was – you know, the special effects were done? That is putting American jobs out there, but that's still a gray area. But as far as like buying CDs and Blu-rays, I just haven't done it for that reason because most of those actual products are made outside of the country.
What's the goal here, Mike? Is it to save one American job? Is it just to see if you can put yourself in constraints and survive? Is it to get a book deal? What are you trying to accomplish out of all of this?
The two main goals I had were to see if I could pull it off. I in this age of outsourcing, massive outsourcing, I wanted to see if it was even possible to go just 1 year of my life.
I'd like to
American
start with
goods.
A. Yes. You have too much time on your hands.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
KB?
Well, and then the other major goal was to hopefully give notice to and celebrate companies that in this day of outsourcing continue to make their products within the United States. They're essentially putting profit not at the forefront, and they're making sure that Americans still have jobs because unemployment, at least in my lifetime, has never been higher. And I'm a guy who doesn't have a college degree and doesn't have many skills. And by the grace of God,
mostly unemployed.
And by the grace of God and you guys, I've been able to be so blessed to have this career that I have. But if I didn't, I'd be one of these guys who didn't have anything to offer the workforce in the current market. And I'd be probably looking for a job. So my heart goes out to those who are struggling because most manufacturing and blue collar jobs are being, you know, thrown out to other parts of the world.
But I have one final question. Bean, do you have any before I ask it?
Yes, and that is, how awesome is it going to be when Psycho Mike gets fired from Loveline because they outsource his position to some guy in India who's doing the show?
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for calling. That's going to be such an awesome show. I can't wait till you are unemployed, Mike.
When that happens, and it probably will.
Yeah.
Don't think I'm not saving my Rich Mike money now so that I can go off the grid. And then it's bomb land time.
Sweet, I like
it. Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Oh, yeah, I'm going off the grid, moving to, like, the Ozarks. Bunch of AKs and MP5s, Lisa. I'm going to be making dirty bombs, and then I'm going to take a power back! USA!
Now, Bean, how do you feel? This is my final question. How do you feel, Bean, now that we've talked to Psycho Mike about DomesticJourney.com and buying only American and American jobs and supporting the U.S., how do you feel about your goal of getting your hair cut in every 50 state?
Way better. Better. Are you kidding?
He's trying to get his haircut in every one of the 50 states.
Oh, haircuts I know. America.
Kevin,
yeah.
That was going on long before I left the show.
But I'm saying, how does he feel now? You're still behind it now.
100%. Are you kidding me? Mike's wasting his time with his BS. My thing's important. I look sharp with this Texas haircut today.
Yes, you do.
I look sharp with this Texas haircut. That's the worst country song ever written.
Psycho Mike, listen, I'm so glad you came by. How much would we have to pay you to get Beer Mug to pack up his stuff and drive home right now and you come back to the Kevin and Bean Show and take over your old job? Please think about
that. That sounds like a whole nother bit. We might have to have an auction with listeners calling up. See if they can pitch in some money.
It wouldn't take much. I'll tell you that right now.
Beer Mug, stay strong. Keep your head up, son.
Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat for a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. What the heck's going on?
Oh, it's Oscar, Oscar, Oscar.
All Oscar.
That's all everybody's talking about. Oscar Mayer Wieners.
Nope.
Nope.
They should sponsor the Oscars. That'd be awesome.
My award show has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. It is the Oscar nominations. They were released early this morning. In case you missed any of them, I'll give you a real quick recap and then hit you with a couple other showbiz stories before we say goodbye. Best Picture nominees, 9 of them this year. Due to the rule changes, they can nominate anywhere between 5 and 10 each year. Don't really need that many.
You
can whittle this list down to 5 rather easily, I think.
And some of them are just a big waste of time because they have no chance whatsoever of winning, so why bother?
I don't understand. The original idea was to be more inclusive so that big, popular films that the audiences went to that maybe did not get the critical acclaim or the nods from other award shows would be included, which would give people more of a rooting interest in the awards.
Right.
That's not what's happening.
Not this time.
No. I don't think that hundreds of millions of people who went to see The Tree of Life are going to finally watch the Oscars to root on Terrence Malick's film. I'm just guessing that didn't happen.
I've never heard of that movie.
That's the one with all the weird visual stuff in it. Like, there's dinosaurs juxtaposed with fields of wheat, and then Brad Pitt shows up.
Are you sure that wasn't just an acid trip?
No, I'm pretty sure.
All right.
And then Sean Penn's his son, and then they go, and there's a creek, and then they show you some moss, and then there's, like, there's like an Indian with a tear coming out of his eye after some guy throws garbage out of a car window. It's a very strange film. And yet the critics seem to enjoy it.
So. But, Ralph, I know you don't have any problem with movies that aren't mainstream blockbusters being nominated for a Best Picture Oscar.
Because
the quality should be the thing.
This ceremony is supposed to be about the excellence in filmmaking. It's not a popularity contest. So with that in mind, just pick out the 5 best films of the year, in your opinion, and talk about those. And people who don't like it, they can go pound sand, because it's still supposed to be about the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences rewarding good work.
And I haven't heard anybody who loves that incredibly close and extremely loud, or whatever that's called, either. People say,
neither.
Yeah, it's okay.
Me neither. Although I respect Martin Scorsese more than I can say, I haven't heard raves about Hugo. People say, oh my God, you got to see Hugo. Go see Hugo. Anyway, here are your nominees. The Artist. I have heard a lot of raves about that one. The Descendants, also extremely well received by everyone I know who's seen it. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Hugo, Midnight in Paris. That's a film everyone loves, the Woody Allen film. The Help, everyone loved that one. Moneyball, War Horse, and The Tree of Life. Those are your nominees for Best Picture.
You'll find this funny, Ralph. My wife took me to see Midnight in Paris, and she had to explain to me who each person was as we went.
That's Ernest Hemingway. Yeah, he wrote a lot of books.
And no idea.
Other writers think the world of him, so he's really excited to be able to talk to him.
I was like, who's that? Pause. What's this mean? Who's this? Pause.
Pass the juju piece.
Sorry, back to you.
Best Actor, Demian Bashir for A Better Life. George Clooney for The Descendants. Jean Dujardin for The Artist. Gary Oldman, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, Brad Pitt for Moneyball. Great story. Jean Dujardin, the French actor who stars in The Artist, and is in a silent film, and he's required to emote enormously with his face. You can read the emotions on his face because there is no aid of dialogue in this film.
Mm-hmm.
He said for a long time, a lot of people told him he would never work in movies because his face was just way too animated. He looked like a cartoon, and he would never have a career.
Really?
And he's a big star in France already, but he said this finally paid off. My very expressive face actually came in handy for a change.
It's sad he can't talk, though. I mean, a guy like that, it's tragic to see a guy who's mute trying to make it in films.
There are some English actors, English-speaking actors in this film as well, like John Goodman, for example, is in this film. And the two of them do not speak. Goodman doesn't speak French. Jardine doesn't speak English very well. And they had to improv a lot of scenes because there was no dialogue. So they would give them the intent, and Goodman said, we would just argue back and forth and talk back and forth, and no one knew what the other guy was saying. We just had to pretend we were having this conversation while they filmed it. Interesting stuff. Kenneth Branagh, My Week with Marilyn. He's nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Jonah Hill for Moneyball. Nick Nolte for Warrior. Christopher Plummer for Beginners. And Max von Sydow for Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Best Actress,
Meryl Streep for The Iron Lady, Viola Davis for The Help, Michelle Williams, My Week with Marilyn, Rooney Mara for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and Glenn Close for Albert Nobbs. Best Supporting Actress, Octavia Spencer and Jessica Chastain, both from The Help, Janet McTeer from Albert Nobbs, Melissa McCarthy, Bridesmaids, and Berenice Bijou for The Artist.
Take it easy.
Wow. She's so hot.
She's so hot.
You like her a lot.
Take it
she
easy.
She is so hot.
She's not that hot.
Is that hot.
No.
Your big five categories.
She just isn't.
For the Oscars. She's
I'm
way
not
hot.
Saying she's not
she's
hot.
She's ridiculously hot.
I'm not saying she's not hot, but he'll give smoking hot chicks two or three bells, and now he's going crazy.
I think she's a smoking hot chick.
I do love her so much.
I don't love her. I don't know her. She doesn't love me. She doesn't love you either. I'm just saying she's hot.
She's the one who pooped in a sink in that movie, right? That's who we're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very funny. The only sound effect in the movie. The Super Bowl's coming up. Can I say that?
What?
I can say that, right?
You can.
I don't have to have a deal with them or something,
you
right?
You do not.
Okay. Everyone's talking about that. They're starting to talk about the commercials that are going to air at the Super Bowl. I don't know if you've seen the new Volkswagen Star Wars-based commercial. Awesome! Of course, last year they gave us the little kid in the Darth Vader outfit who was trying to get stuff started. This year's is also good. It's called The Bark Side. Look it up on YouTube and you get a chance. The Bark Side, it's called. It's basically a chorus of dogs barking out the Imperial March theme from Star Wars. It's like,
awesome. And they're all dressed up like individual little Star Wars characters.
Yeah, one of them's Chewbacca and everyone's an Ewok and it at comes out towards the end. It's very entertaining. But the big star of the Super Bowl turns out it's going to be Adriana Lima.
Really? Right now.
She's in three different commercials for three different things during the Super Bowl.
Here's a perfect example of Bean gave her fewer bells than he gave the chick from the artist.
I gave her a bunch of bells.
She had equal bellage.
She needs more bellage than anyone.
She got her proper bellage.
Who's she advertising for, Ralph?
Victoria's Secret. Natch.
Of course. Yeah.
Natch.
Kia Optima. The Kia Optima. She's so hot, she could make me drive a Kia Optima. That's how hot she is.
The best car ever.
It absolutely is, yes. And Teleflora.
Oh, they're an outstanding Mexican soap opera.
No, they are a company that will send flowers to your beloved over the telephone or the internet.
I use them all the time.
Yes. So she will be featured in three different ads during the Super Bowl. So she's...
That idea is literally the greatest idea I have ever heard in my life.
She's already MVP, in my opinion. Just give her the car. Whatever they give the MVP of the Super Bowl.
They should just make the ruling that she has to be the spokesperson for every single company that wants to advertise during in the Super Bowl.
But then how could you delineate between products? How could
I don't think Kevin will be doing that.
You'd have to get an ugly chick to do one commercial to stand out from all the Adriana Lima
commercials. I care about that?
You don't care.
That's not my problem.
And 50 Cent in the news regarding the Super Bowl. He has made some sizable wagers via his Twitter on the outcome of that game. Fitty is a Giants fan, and if it's to be believed, it looks like he made $500,000 betting on the Giants to beat the 49ers in the NFC Championship game.
$500,000?
He bet $500,000 on the Giants to win against the Niners for the NFC Championship game.
For the Championship game.
Yes. Okay. So he's already won there. I can tell he won because he tweeted this picture of him with large stacks of $100 bills sitting on each shoulder. That's how you know he's rich. Oh, Jesus.
And by the way, for people who are wondering where 50 Cent's getting all this money, because he hasn't had a hit record in 5 years, he invested in that that water company. Remember that 50
Cent vitamin water
or something like that, and just made millions of dollars. So he's got this to throw around if he wants.
Well, he's a little richer now.
No kidding.
With his $500,000 bet on the Giants beating the Niners to advance. And regarding the Super Bowl, this is his wager. He bet a young woman on Twitter that if the Giants lose, if the Patriots win the Super Bowl, he will post a picture of his on Twitter. He will twit pick his junk if the Patriots beat the Giants.
Really?
And if it goes the other way, then his female follower on Twitter will post her boobs and face on her picture.
Okay.
And Fitty tweeted back, okay, it's a bet. So there you go.
All right.
So hopefully the Patriots win and we get to see 50 Cent's penis.
For the Patriots now. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Misha Barton from The O.C. is 26 years old today. Ed Helms of The Office is 37. Matthew Lillard from The Descendants, currently in theaters, and Scooby-Doo and Scream and other films, 42 years old. Ernest Borgnine, Oscar winner and, of course, TV star, 95 years old. Aaron Neville, 71. And Neil Diamond, also 71 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program, You Worked With Your Ex. That's got to be difficult. You're together at work, and then you split up, and then you're still together at work.
Hey, yeah. Ralph and Lisa are very professional. Oh, they're able to still come in here every day.
We're
so drunk, we barely remember.
They're
still together, by the way.
Sugar Rashad Evans on the program tomorrow, talking about UFC on Fox. Very excited about that. And
nice save, by the way.
Thank you.
You went in, you pulled it right back out of there. You went to a nosedive, but yet you didn't hit the building. You went up and over. Very impressive.
And comedian Jay Moore in the studio tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and B.